Blog Talk Radio. evening, everybody. Welcome to the West Texas Fitness Barbecue Show on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. We're here just about every Sunday night. I'd like to give a big shout-out to Daryl Math, Barbecue Supercharge, for allowing us to have a show. And, you know, it's a great thing. We've got lots of big, exciting stuff going on with Barbecue Superstars. We are really really starting to get some things out there. They've got the World Championship coming up now. I'll pull some of that stuff up here real quick. And so I can talk about it intelligently here a little bit. We've got the, it's called the BWCS World Championship. Daryl and I talked yesterday evening. It's becoming a great big thing. Looks like they're going to have a whole hog category. It's going to be a four-category event. We're going to have brisket, ribs, chicken, and pork. In the pork category, the way I was being explained to it, we're also going to have a whole hog championship. And so if you're cooking whole hog, then your pork turn-in will come off of your whole hog, and then you'll also have a separate judging on your whole hog category. And so that's it's going to be a new and big thing, and looking forward to it. Daryl's been working really hard on it, and, you know, it's, man, it's looking like a great deal. Said, you know, two champions will be crowned, a whole hog world champion, and then the BWCS world champion. It'll be, that's going to be a really neat thing. So pretty much it's going to be on half-hour turn-ins, just like everything else, like KPCS, 11, say chicken at 11, ribs at 11:30, pork at noon, brisket at 12:30, and like I said on the pork, you know, you can do shoulders, you can do butts, or you can do whole hog. And like I said, if you do the whole hog, then you'll also be judged separately on your whole hog entry. And so it's kind of an exciting thing. It's coming up. I think they're still working on some of the dates. You can go to barbecuesuperstars.com, and you can look under the BWCS. And, you know, it's got all the breakdowns, the regions, the automatic qualifiers, and that end of it. And so I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a great deal. And I believe this year it's going to be in South Carolina. I'm trying to figure that one out myself. See if we can make it over there and join them for the first annual. And so looking forward to it. We're also going to have Junior Urias in tonight. He got some big announcement. You know, he's the Texas Pitmaster champion. And so I look forward to talking to Junior. They were over competing in Lovington this weekend. I know he had a couple of great calls. They got first place for ribs. And another call, maybe chance and brisket, something like that. And so there were a lot of competitions going on this weekend. We had had one in Lovington, one in Brownfield, one in Littlefield, one in Sayre, Oklahoma. Those were all IBCA cook-offs. And so out west this weekend, it was, you know, there was a lot going on. We also crowned the Pit War champion this weekend, LeCocq Meyer. He pulled it off and edged out. Edged out Mo and Stumps and the other one. And yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. And I didn't get to watch it till today. The time I got in, like I said, we were catering yesterday, and then Jennifer Campbell, they were doing a fundraiser for the Shallow Water Fire Department, so we were helping her cook some briskets. And so Friday night I had my pit pretty well loaded, and it was a good deal. So, it was great. It was a great weekend, you know. Always have fun getting to cook. Matter of fact, I think we actually even have Jennifer in here. We'll key her in here in a second, and we'll get her on. And I said, Gene, you're supposed to call in here in just a little bit, and we'll get him on, and we'll have a great night. So, hold on, Sam, let's see if we can get Jennifer in. Maybe. Oh, there it is. You live, Jennifer?
What's up? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Did you recover?
I'm getting there. I'm drinking a beer now, so.
Ditto.
Yeah, I was, the time I got home yesterday and went and picked up all my stuff from catering, I was kind of wore out.
Yeah. That's true. I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for cooking those briskets. There was nothing but wonderful things that were said about you. Or about the briskets and you for donating your time, because you did that unselfishly and asked for nothing in return, and it's very sweet of you. And everybody just went crazy over them.
Wow. Well, I'm glad they did all right. And it got crazy. You know, we're sitting out here cooking in pouring rain Friday night, so I was hoping they were all done in town.
I'm just glad that the weather didn't get too terribly bad. From the radar, it looked like we were going to get blown away, but it ended up just being a bunch of rain. That was about it.
Yeah, a little bit.
And
of
wind.
Had a little wind there for a while, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was raining sideways there for a while. No.
I wouldn't know. I took cover.
Yeah, well, I sat down on the porch watching briskets. Actually, I put some briskets on, actually, during the storm, and it was raining sideways there for a little bit, but it wasn't too bad. Probably had about 50-mile-hour winds, maybe 60.
So some people
that
really...
No, didn't have much hail or anything like that. A little bit of peace ice stuff, that was it. So we're pretty fortunate. And,
people think 50-mile-hour
Do what?
People think 50-mile-an-hour wind is like, really strong, but that's normal for us. We're used to it.
It wasn't that much, you know. Said I was out
on
the back porch.
We just had a little wind.
Look, I'm out on the back porch of the trailer, sitting there drinking a beer, watching the smoke roll a little bit there, as Chadwick would say. And it was good. Oh, y'all had a good day yesterday. John Lacks pulled that one off yesterday.
He missed it by one point, being reserve, and the only thing that beat him was the guy had one place higher in brisket than he had. So that sucked. But it's all right. Brisket's a tiebreaker. So.
Well,
I still can't believe Tom got first on chicken, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he said it Friday night. He said, I'm going to beat his chicken.
Yeah.
I'm going to win. We all thought he was full of shit, but he pulled it off.
So, well, my question is, I didn't get to see a chicken, I didn't get to try it, but I'm wondering if it was probably a little darker than mine. It seemed like everything yesterday, you know, the darker it was, the better it went, you know. And that's kind of typical of backyard type cooks, you know. I've cooked some of those like that. We cooked barbecue and boonies one year. And the guy next to me, he got his chicken up to about, I bet that thing was 190 degrees. And, I mean, it was just black. It looked like something off of the Coyote and Roadrunner show. I think that thing had been blown up. Man, what did I do? I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. And so we kind of probed a couple. And we took the one with the least amount of problems, cut it up, and he whipped my butt with it. And I was like, that's where it usually goes. So,
I don't know. I mean, your pork got first.
Yeah, we had pretty good pork.
And it wasn't dark, but it still did really good. There was a couple others in there that were more saucy. I mean, they had more sauce on them than yours did.
Yeah.
But, no, your pork was delicious. Me and when I tasted it, I looked at Matt and I said, this is probably Lance. And he said, how do you know? I said, because I can tell his rub. And then I knew on the chicken, I knew for a fact, I told him, I said, this is either John or Lance. And he said, and he was like, really? And I said, yeah. And, but I told him, I said, I don't know. I'm thinking it's John because it's dry and yours isn't dry. It was more dry. So I don't know.
Well,
but the judges
mine
were all,
yesterday, I being gone yesterday morning, I didn't have time to smoke mine like I normally do. And so I grilled mine in an hour yesterday. And, I don't know. I kind of like it's a lot different than what I've ever done, because I generally have my own smoker for, 2 or 3 hours. And, man, it had moisture and stuff. I was scared to death I was going to burn the thing up, I put it on such a hot fire. And, I don't know. I may try that a few more times. I kind of like it.
Maybe you should recruit Tom to come cook your chicken.
Yeah, I couldn't afford him, probably.
It was funny. He said, he cooked his first chicken on the grill the beginning of this week. And he said, I've cooked 10 more this week, just trying different things. And sure enough, I guess he did it right. And I asked him last night when we got home, I said, did you do anything? Did you help him with anything? And he said, no. And Tom said, I don't grill mine that fast. I grill mine for like 5-6 hours. And so that makes me think that it might have even been better if he would have done that, at a lower temperature.
Yeah, because he told me when I got back, their chicken was gone like at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. And they'd just been resting it. It had been sitting over there for a while in a hot box. And I was like, wow.
You never know what they're up to.
So, and that may have been part of it, too, is that, because I know generally my chicken, I pull it off of the grill or the smoker, and I turn it in. I turn it in, hot and, right then. And, I know other people. Some people rest them, and, but, that that could, also dry them out a little bit sometimes, too. So, I did one at Barbecue in the Boonies, and it had good flavor, but, to me it was a little dry up there. And and like I said, this weekend just gave me an opportunity to it kind of forced me to try it the other way. I didn't want to do it. You know how it is in a competition, you're always afraid to do something like that. And, by the time I got back and got it all prepped and everything, I had an hour to turn in, so, I had no other choice but to stick it on a hot fire. And I was really surprised. That's the first time. Well, I'll say that. I've done it one other time. I did it at Trader's Village one year. We did there's a backyard competition over there for chicken, and I grilled the chicken over there. And so I guess I've done it twice now. And, I don't know. It's something I'm going to definitely play with. Down south of I-20, most of the people grill their chickens. They don't smoke them like we do up here.
Right.
And so, what?
Okay, not sure. You can go ahead if you want to, but I have not heard who won Brownfield. Was it Pellet Mafia? Is that where they were at?
No, I didn't see anything where Pellet Mafia was at.
I know Pellet Mafia did. I know that she won something because she, Nobody's Barbecue, which is her husband, Daniel, put on Facebook today that she got invited to the Royal, but I didn't think that Brownfield was state, is it?
Yeah, no, but if they had over 25 teams, it qualifies.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Nobody's Barbecue, that's right. I did see something yesterday. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's her
husband. Look it up. Yeah.
And he said that she won Grand Champion and got invited to the Kansas City Royal.
I bet she won Midland.
Midland had a kickoff?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Midland had it was a Lone Star.
It was a different sanction, that's why. Okay. on IBCA.
No, but
I got to ask
you, Carol. Here it is. Oh, I'll tell you. Because Shelby told me there's a couple of backyard guys that won Brownfield.
Well, that's what Ursula told me, too, and I was sitting there going, they're not backyard. Like, they compete all the time.
Yeah, hold on.
So
that must be I bet she was at, they had the Tejano, it was a Tejano cook-off yesterday down there. Let's see, I'm on their deal right now. There's her turn-ins. How did last cook-off go yesterday? The first one mine, second one Crystal's. Did you see them?
It was in the comment section from where I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, while you're reading that, what, as a cook, what's your opinion on this with Daryl doing what he's doing? Because I got the same email you, or Facebook thing that you got. What is your opinion on every 30 minutes? Is that hard?
Okay. Every 30 minutes is, Kansas City Barbecue Society does them every 30 minutes. Is it hard? Yes, it is harder. But the other side of that is, the one thing I like about it is that, you know, you're busy for a couple hours right there, and then you're done. It's over with.
Mm.
You don't drag it out all day.
That's what we did yesterday.
So, you know, in a lot of ways, to me, I do like that because, you know, you get in the rhythm, you get going, and then you're done with it. You know,
right.
When, you know, the one thing about our stuff is that, you know, we kind of drag them out. And, you know, by the time you get done turning in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I mean, you're wore out.
Right.
But, you know, generally, you know, those kind of contests, you know, you'll have that, and then, you know, generally 4 to 5 o'clock, they're having awards. And, I mean, you're done.
Well, ours
I mean,
is going to
you
know, be even later. Ours is going to, at breakfast, we're going to be even later, but it's just because we have so many categories. So maybe
right.
We need somebody like you that's done the every 30-minute turn-in thing and can tell us. But the problem is the judging. I mean, yesterday we had 11 beans. That was it, 11 beans. And it took an hour to judge those beans and not to put anybody down, but it was the judges. They were just slow, and they were taking their time, which, honestly, as a cook, you should like that because they're seriously taking into consideration what they're doing,
yeah.
And you don't want them to be rushed.
But see, that, okay, and here's the deal, and that is where, okay, so the way our judging is set up, it does take a lot longer, okay, because, you know, oh, I say yesterday, what did you have, 7 judges?
No, we ran 10.
You ran 10 judges, okay, so
mm-hmm.
10 judges. So that meant that, okay, in beans, for instance, they had to sample 11 beans, all 10 judges, right?
Right.
Okay. And the same thing on your meat categories. In your meat categories, you had 16 in there. So
right.
Those all go in. So we're, okay, in Kansas City style, KCBS and a lot of them. What happens is you have, okay, so let's say yesterday we would have had 16 teams. We would have had 16 judges, theoretically, in KPCS. Okay? One judge per team. So you would have had, you probably had had, you know, like three tables of five or something like that or something, you know. And, you know, so what happens is I turn in, so the first 6 of us would have gone to a table. 6 judges would have looked at our food. That's all they eat our food. Same thing for when you go to the American Royal, when they have 562 teams, they got 562 judges. Your tray is only sampled by 6 judges out of that 562 judges.
Wow.
That's how they do it. So they're judging simultaneously. Everybody's getting their food judged, you know, right then. And that's how come they can run 30-minute tables.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
my fear on that is that, you know, Daryl already asked me to come down to do the to be the head judge for the chickens. Well, he wants it to be run IBCA rules. Well,
he's going to okay, that's going to be a separate deal, though.
Okay.
That's going to be a separate. I was on the website this morning and I was looking at that. Let me pull that up. Because I'd forgotten about that. And I knew that she had said something about that. But I was looking on here, and what he's got is he calls it. Let me get to that page. Called it a Texas backyard chicken or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he was calling it. So I think that's going to be on a Thursday or a Friday. It's going to be it.
Okay.
So
well,
it's
that's
not going to be
because
part
I don't know
the,
how to run a table like what you're talking about.
Right.
I only know how to run
right.
an IBCA. I mean, that's all I've ever been. I've never even been to a different kind of cook-off, you know? That's the only kind I've ever been to.
Okay, here's a second. I'm pulling it up right now. So,
he's got some business
coming,
though, like as far as people in the state. I mean, he was telling me people the other day, like the governor or the senator or somebody.
Yeah, the governor's going to be there. And the only thing
they
that I'm worried
how to cook
about
Texas chicken.
Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about with the whole situation is it's the same weekend as the American Royal. And I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play. I mean, I'm a little concerned about that because he's wanting to have Custy and a bunch of them there. Well, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull them from the American Royal.
No,
okay, October the 3rd, load-in teams, Texas Chicken Contest is what that will be. And then on October the 4th will be the World Championship.
I know Thursday night he's having, like, a big banquet thing.
Okay, October 2nd, that will be the banquet. October 3rd, so 3rd is probably Friday night. That's loading in the team
mm-hmm.
for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to have the Texas Chicken Contest then.
Okay.
So.
I don't... Well, I mean, honestly... I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. You want to go to a good cook-off. I mean, you want to know that it's run right and whatever, but at the same time, payout seems to be a big issue, too. You know?
Oh, sure. Payout is always a big issue. And, I mean,
so,
you know, that's out of it. I mean,
if you get more money involved, which that's kind of the shocker with me with BreastFest is we don't have just a huge payout. I mean, we're proud of what we've done in 4 years. You know, the first year we started with a payout of, like, the teams that were there. You know, they just got a percentage. The next year we had 3,000. The next year we had 5,000. This year we bumped up to 7,000. I'm sure people are looking at it going, man, every year they're bumping up 2,000. And our goal is to get to bump it up 2,000 every year. Hopefully we'll get to do that.
Right.
But at some point you got to put a cap on it, you know. I mean, if we got get on up there to, you know, $30,000 or so, like Mark Bateman, we'll be golden. But I don't know. I mean, because that's amazing. I can't believe Mark is going to be able to do that. That is, especially for his first year, that's amazing. Amazing to me.
Right. Yeah, okay, it does say that she done, that she won, but I don't know. No, some, but hold on a second. It's not saying where they were at. Let me look at Crystal's page.
She did good last weekend, too.
Where was she last weekend?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to think what was last weekend. Last weekend. I'm not sure. All right, hold on.
I'm usually curious. Unless she's cooking in all the sanctioning bodies. I mean, she could be.
Let's see.
I'll probably just call her and see if she'll be on my show on Thursday and have a little chat with her.
Well, let's see here.
I think it's so funny that she cooks completely.
I think she cooked at Honnodale because she wasn't in 1110, and Toby knows her Toby knows her well enough that he wouldn't have said that yesterday.
Yeah, because they camped right by us at Andrews. They're right next to you.
Yeah.
And Andrews, and Toby is right by you, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the girls and I, we've cooked together several times. And she's always tough. We've cooked La Mesa the last couple of years. I guess that may have been the first place I ever cooked against them in La Mesa. No. I'll take that back. It may have been Midland the first year. We cooked in that KPCS contest down there together. That may have been the first place we competed against each other.
Okay.
But she's always good, except for bag on pellet cookers, you know. So, like them or dislike them, I mean, they always seem to pull out pretty well. A lot of people have a lot of good results with them. But, you know, the thing about them is, you know, it's one of those deals. I mean, they set them and they can go to bed or whatever. I mean, they kind of run like an oven and you don't have to mess
with them. See, that's what I would have to get. I'm not going to wake up in the middle of the night to check my meat. I'm too lazy. John got up in the middle of the night because he said, we went to bed at 12:30. I said, no, we didn't. We went to bed at 1:30. And then he said he got up a couple times during the night, and then Tom woke him up and said, your fire's out. And so he had to wake back up then. But I don't know.
I didn't have to worry about it a lot. I guess we all went to bed around then. And, you know, of course, you know, I have an insulated firebox. And so once I get my pit hot, and, you know, I threw a few sticks of wood in, and I went to bed. And John came over and beat on the door about six. He's like, you can get up? And I was like, yeah, in a minute. And I was like, man. So.
Well, Gordo gave away a pellet cooker the other day. Who did he give that to?
I think someone at Ray Lee. Why am I not on that list? Well, me neither.
Donnie Hill's been giving away cookers, and Gordo's been giving away cookers, and I'm like, hello, I'm your friend too.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way it goes, girl.
I think Donnie was in Lovington this weekend, wasn't he?
Donnie was in Lovington. Yes, he did well.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Thank you.
The last place I heard was Matthew got fourth. Matthew Alexander got fourth.
Yeah, that's right. Matthew Alexander got fourth. Dang it. Gene Perrott won it. Ronnie Wade was second. And Kirk Pittman was third.
Who won it?
Gene Perrott.
He won. Yeah, I was about to say he won the wing kickoff.
He's tough. He's always been tough. When Gene shows up, you better step up your game big time because he's hard to beat.
Do I need to tell him he can't come to breakfast?
Huh?
Do I need to tell him he can't come to breakfast?
Sorry. I don't have enough money for him to show up. We'll see. He shouldn't show up on the $10,000 cooks.
Oh. Mars is only seven. Well,
so, I don't know, you know, it just depends on, I mean, it's just like you said, I mean, it's kind of a money thing, and I think that's it. The other side of that was, of course, he had already qualified, so I guess it really made a difference. And I don't know that he really does anything with, like, the American Roll and stuff like that. But, I mean, he had already qualified this year, so.
That's what a lot of it was,
and then. The other part of that is the Jack Daniels. Everybody was going to New Mexico this weekend because, see, New Mexico only has, I have there'll be three contests. I think that's it. I think there's three contests over there for the bid for the Jack Daniels. So there's only three people in the draw in New Mexico.
Right.
Four people. No, three. It's three. That was the other reason a lot of people were going over there.
The payout at Buffalo this year with the wing cook-off was not $10,000. They didn't do that like they normally do.
No, they wasn't this year.
Their payout was actually only $6,200, I think, is what we figured out by the end of it. She didn't do it at $10,000 this year. Maybe we can convince Camille to do that again this year. I mean, in 2015, whatever. Bring back the $10,000. So maybe, because, I mean, our payoff will be bigger than what she had, and he went to that one, so he might come to ours. You never know.
Yep.
All I got to say is that as many people have been calling us, you better get out there early.
Well, you better have my spot, so that's all I got to say. Yeah, I'd hate to have to go somewhere else.
Oh, hush.
All right, hold on. I think we got Junior here. Let me get him on. He's got a big announcement tonight. And get him in here. We'll get him involved in the conversation. You there, Junior?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. You, Lance, everybody in. It's a father, and sometimes there's women that are fathers as well. So happy Father's Day to everybody. How are y'all?
Good. Happy Father's Day to you.
Appreciate it. We're, as a matter of fact, we're here at my parents'. We're all just hanging out. My parents, he plays the guitar. He's out here playing the guitar, and he's got a friend playing the organ. Man, they're just having a hoot of a time, and we're just here. Having a good time with them.
Good deal, man. Good deal. Well, it looks like you had a pretty good day yesterday.
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, we just got back from Lumington this weekend. We went down there and it's a good cook. There's a lot of good teams. I think there's 33 top teams that were there, and it was a good cook. We got 10th in brisket and first in ribs. So yeah, we did pretty good. I don't know what we did overall. I know we're top five, I guess. So that wasn't a bad cook.
That's good, man. That is good. So,
appreciate it.
Yeah. I know how those nails are, man. I wanted to be there, but they said we just had too much going on up this way to get down there that far. So I did find out yesterday that, I do the family reunion as catering every year, and they're going to skip a year next year. And so he said, you're back on the hook the year after. He said, we're going to skip next year. We're not going to have one. And because their numbers have kind of been declining a little bit. They had about 60 people yesterday or something. So, he said, now I think we're going to do it every other year now. So I may actually get to, make it back to Lumington next year.
I'll tell you what, man. 2012, I was older. I went 2012. I grand championed it 2012. Great cook-off, great place, beautiful music. You know, it's a real family-oriented cook-off, and every year it keeps going. You know, I've been going back since. And, man, it's just an awesome
place. Yeah,
that was
the first year I
cook-off.
Was...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, we
cooked
together
a bunch
in 2012.
That's right. I remember that. I had a bung in the for the jack, and man, it was close, but we didn't get it. We didn't get it this year. Definitely, we got beat. But it was real close. It was a good cook-off. Like I said, every year it keeps getting better. This year was probably the best by far. They had plenty of things for the kids. You know, a lot of activities, a lot of food vendors, good food vendors. So, yeah, it's definitely a good cook-off. Congrats to Gene Pruitt and Ronnie Wade on grand champion and reserve. They did real good.
Yeah.
Of course, they always do, so, it wasn't no surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kirk Pittman, he had third.
Yeah, Kirk did good, yeah.
So, And then, oh, Matt Alexander. Have you met him yet?
But of course, yeah. I think he uses my seasonings. Definitely.
Yeah, he was a fourth overall, so, yeah, you're probably five. And, it was a good kickoff. I mean, you know, and always enjoy that kind of stuff. And, you know, 12, we went over there with you. And, matter of fact, you knocked me out of the deal because I ended up reserved that year. And you got me by a couple points. So.
It's you know, since that year, it's improved. The cook-off has gotten better. You know, it's good music. Definitely, you know, that one year they had good music. This year was even just as good. Food vendors, you know, sometimes you go to cook-offs, the food vendors, the food's not good, but, man, this year is definitely good. So it's a good cook-off for anybody out there that wants a real good cook-off. No dirt blowing around, you know, it's all good. Of course, you know, you get the wind and the bad storms every year. It never fails. It did again this year. You know, a good storm comes through there, and, man, I tell you what, it is something else. Everybody is holding down tents.
Yeah, I was talking to, who am I talking to? Oh, I was talking to Kobe. He was in Brownfield, and, you know, because we were in Littlefield this weekend cooking, and I told him, I said, man, I said, it's coming y'all's way. I said, y'all just get ready. And he's like, hey, he said, it ain't even raining down here. And, you know, it flooded Brownfield, too. And then, you know, we were watching it on TV, you know, all the weather warning stuff started popping up in Lumington. I was like, yep, they're going to get it again this year, too. So,
I tell you what, you can smell the rain, you know, just like that one year you were there, Lance. You can smell the rain coming, and definitely you can see the cloud. It was just dark. A dark cloud just coming over you, and you knew everybody was scrambling to go get their things ready for the rain. And sure enough, they did.
Well, I guess we had some guys. You know, we're in Littlefield. They had their first annual this year. And, you know, we had a lot of backyard teams. And so I guess Friday night, with all the rain, we had a bunch of guys that went home. And then I guess we had one come back yesterday morning. And he's like, you know, he thought he couldn't start cooking until after the cook's meeting. And so he said, I don't have enough time to cook brisket. And everybody was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's not how he's come to his work, man. It don't matter about the weather. You get your butt out there and get busy.
No, he said he had been to 13 cook-offs and that everyone only could not start until after the cook's meeting. And we had to delay the cook's meeting because, you know, we had a turf loader coming through. And he got mad and said he didn't have enough time to cook his food, so he went home. And then he complained to the mayor and said it was all our fault. And he called Toby and he called IBCA and complained about me because I didn't do the cook's meeting. And I'm like, where in the, you know, bad word, was I supposed to do a cook's meeting? It is pouring down rain, and there's a building there, but it was locked. We couldn't get in it. And so I don't know what he expected me to do, but he said, he told my husband yesterday that he couldn't start cooking until after the cook's meeting. And I said, no, you can start cooking as soon as your meat's inspected. I mean, everybody knows that, or I thought that he did it.
Yeah, and the promoter was doing it. I mean, he was inspecting everybody as they come in. You know, because I had my meat inspected by 5:30, 6 o'clock. Well, it's probably about 6 o'clock. Robert had inspected my meat and everything, and so, I mean, you know, there shouldn't have been any issue there. So he was, you know, he was doing that pretty much, you know, right then. And if a guy he cooked 13 contests, you know, that's the first thing that we all want. I mean, when we get to a contest, we kind of get our stuff there, and, I mean, we want to get inspected. And because we know once we get inspected, we can get our bus busy. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
I think he was confused, and his wife called and complained about me. And I was like, well, I don't know where y'all expect me to do this cook's meeting unless we're standing in the pouring rain. And with the wind blowing, you know, 50 miles an hour and the rain coming down like it was, there was no way. Absolutely no way I could have done that. So
absolutely. Well, that's good. And like I said, it was their first year. They'll, you know, if they have one next year, they'll, it'll be better. You know how it goes. It always takes a little bit of time to get it built up. So what are you cooking next, Junior?
My next cook-off is going to be Artesia, New Mexico. We're going to do it. It's going to be a KCBS. We're going to go down there, and as a matter of fact, that's in 2 weeks. So
yeah.
I'm really excited about that cook-off. It's a real well-ran event. Good people, good cooks, and definitely a tough challenge. But, you know, we're hoping to get in there and hopefully win it. And get another bung in for the Jack Daniels. You know, it is a New Mexico cook-off, so we're going to try to get that so we can hopefully go to the Jack sometime this year.
Yep, I hear you.
I'm already ready for the Royal. You know, we already qualified for it, so now we just need to get qualified for the Jack.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm still working on getting qualified for the Royal. But we're also, I think that same weekend, we're also having the BWCS. Daryl Mast has got the World Championship going on. I think it's going to be that weekend also. So if we don't qualify for the Royal, we may end up in South Carolina this year. So...
be good, Lance. I really want to branch out and venture off and start cooking some of these other states. And, you know, Florida, of course, we've cooked in Florida already, but I want to go to Georgia and cook some of them whole hogs and start hitting some of these other events like that. And
well,
it looks like it's going to happen this year, maybe.
Well, good. Well, that's like the BWCS. That's going to be one of the deals. In the World Championship, they're going to run it like a KPCS. It'll have a 30-minute turn-in. Your third turn-in will be pork, just like KPCS. But here's the kicker. One of the deals was getting the National Barbecue Association, some of them involved in it. And so what they wanted was they wanted the whole hog category. So what they have done is if you want to be in the whole hog category also, your third turn-in will be pork. You'll turn in some of your whole hog, and then you'll also get judged separately on your whole hog. So they're going to have a World Championship whole hog cook-off, and you're also going to have the World Championship main cook-off. And then they're also going to have on, I think it's on Friday, they're going to have a Texas-style chicken cook-off. You know, it's got that here cooked with half chickens. They're going to have one of those cook-offs, too. So it's going to be a pretty neat deal. I think he's got Myron and a bunch of them involved in it already. And so kind of see how it goes. But, you know, it may be a good deal. And, you know.
Where is this going to be at?
Do I know?
Where is this going to be at? What cook-off is this?
It's going to be in South Carolina.
Up down. That's over there in Daryl Mass's country, right?
That's in Daryl Mass's country, yes. I mean, that's a whole different world over there. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. We might have to, you know, work out or something. We might have to just partner up and make a road trip.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't even know what direction South Carolina is at. Other than the south.
It's east of here.
It's by Florida.
What is that?
About 1,800 miles.
Is it close
probably.
To Houston? Is it close to Houston, Texas?
Yeah, it is closer to Houston than us, yes.
Yeah. You know, I really do. I really want to start venturing out a little bit more. You know, hopefully this year we'll start doing that. So we've got some cool cook-offs lined up. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Lance, there's a lot of folks that already know, but there's a lot that really don't. You know, they want to know what's going on with my transformation and all the cooking that I've been doing. I've been using the new smoker, and the new smoker, it's a V33 Vulcan from Myron Mixon. And the news is, you know, we're in partnership with them, which is an awesome deal, an awesome opportunity for me and my entire team. So, you know, that's a huge deal, and I'm excited. I'm ready to get the battle axe out and do some damage and do some winnings with it. And as a matter of fact, this weekend we did pretty good with it. First run out, first competition with it, and we got a first and 10 out of a tough team. So I think we're pretty excited with it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No, I knew that you'd. I hadn't seen it personally. I knew that you were cooking on one, and you know, we talked several back, and that was you know, that was one of the things we talked about, was getting you on and making the announcement that you were you know, in a partnership with Meyer Nixon, and you know, I think that's great. I mean, I'm proud of you, and you know, I think that you know, it just you know, you deserve it. I mean, you've had some great stuff, and I mean, you've done well on Pitmasters, and you know, congratulations.
Man, it means a lot. You know, but it's been a rough road all these years. You know, you get to a point where you think, man, where am I going with all this stuff? And things start falling in place for you, and you know, it's just overwhelming, really. You know, it's exciting. You know, the Pitmasters was exciting. That's a huge opportunity. I'm glad I was part of it. And then now, even with being partnership, sponsorship with Myron Mixon, it's just, you know, it's just overwhelming. It's awesome. So, appreciate it.
No, man. No, absolutely. I said you deserve it. And, you know, it's a great deal and great opportunity for you. And, you know, so I'm proud of you. And you know, I know you'll do well, and, you know, you're getting a little harder to beat every now and then, you know, but I'll keep working at it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're out there, man. Don't worry about that. You're a good cook, so just keep on cooking, brother. You know what? Your heart will lead you to where you need to go, and you got plenty of heart, so you're there, so. But I want to tell everybody out there, it's the smoker that I got. It's a Myron Mixon Vulcan B33 gravity-fed smoker system. I tell you what, guys, it's a top-notch machine. If you don't win with it, it's your fault. It's not the smoker's fault. It's going to do its job. It did it this weekend for us. You know, it's just a quality smoker. Myron Mixon and the entire gang, they got good quality craftsmanship, and I tell you what, it's all in that smoker, and I'm pretty excited to use it. As a matter of fact, the one I used yesterday at this past weekend, it's the it was a prototype. It's one of the four of the first units that came out, and I had the pleasure of using one. So my new one's already here. I haven't had a chance to go get it. They're going to deliver it to me pretty soon. So, man, I'm pretty excited to break it in. And if anybody's got any questions or comments on it, please contact me on Facebook under Junior Urias, JUNIORURIAS. And, man, I'll talk to you about it. It's an awesome smoker. So, anyways.
No, they look neat. Like I said, I mean, I've seen some pictures and stuff of it. I hadn't seen it up personal, but I'm sure I will here pretty soon. And, you know, I guess our next cook-off is probably 4th of July, it's looking like for us. So I hadn't been able to make it to Artesia. Artesia is always the weekend I have another big kitchen. It's so daggum busy with caterings for me. We would do a Ducks Unlimited deal here. So I've got that this weekend or that weekend. And there's actually a cook-off down in Ballinger. Have you ever cooked that one in Ballinger?
No, I never have. Is it, what is it, IBCA?
It is IBCA. It's like a 6th annual. And so, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking, you know, I might try to sneak down there real quick. After you're done with Ducks Unlimited on Friday night, I might run down there and try to cook it. Just, you know, I'm saying, well, I'm trying to get my qualifications and stuff. So I don't have but a few more. Well, I think July 31st is the end of it for the American Royal qualification, and then I think it's August 31st for the Jack. I always get those two backwards. It may be opposite of that, but
sure.
one is the end in July, and the other one ends in August. And so I'm still trying to, you know, we haven't cooked that many cook-offs this year. And,
well, yeah,
so,
it seems like you've been busy catering, so, you know, it's always good to have some business catering and doing that stuff. I know what you mean.
Well,
you
know,
I had
our urns and a lot of fires, you know, earlier in the year, too, and so, you know, that kind of deterred some of that, too.
Sure.
You know, we were down there in Helotes together, and that's kind of, you know, when your whole deal blew up, and you know, you're doing the pit master deal that weekend, you know. And so it
don't
just
remember
yeah, I mean, yeah, you were still kind of in shock, I think, when you were blowing out of there, and because we were all going to cook down there, and next thing you know, you're like, man, I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta get. Smokers on. I left my smokers smoking and everything going, so I remember that.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, and we had some things to work ourselves down there, and so, you know, it was tough. I mean, it's been one of those years we just had so much going. I mean, just like I said, I'm in catering and you know, some other stuff going on that, man, it's just, it's, I don't know, it's been crazy. And
right,
so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of messed with our, you know, our cook-offs this year. And, you know, because generally, by this time of the year, I've already done about 11 or 12 cook-offs, so.
Right.
So.
How many have you done this year so far?
I think I've done five or six. So I haven't cooked that much this year, really have. And,
yeah,
you know,
I'm with on that. Yeah, well, I haven't. As a matter of fact, I've probably done six myself. Normally, we are already missed. Four cook-offs that I'd normally do. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I haven't been able to, you know, just busy catering and, you know, just business is good, and I guess it's good to be that busy, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, no, yeah, I'm not complaining about that. Don't get me wrong on that. It is, you know, we, you know, we're passionate about cooking. I know you are, and, you know, that's one thing that, you know, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, how we, you know, can cook all the time and like to go to cook-offs, you know. I love going to cook-offs, though, because, I mean, I still get to, I love to cook and I get to cook, but, I mean, it's also, you know, cook-offs to me is not really nerve-wracking or you know, generally I'm not really stressing about a cook-off. You know, I get down there and I'm in my mode and I do my thing and, you know, I enjoy it. And, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like getting out there and fishing on the lake, you know. You know,
I can really see
there.
That, Lance. It looks like you do have a good time out there. I can see it. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Your entire family's out there having a good time, too. And you know what? That's what matters the most is having a good time, doing what you love. And you know, it always is good to come in first. But, you know, sometimes it's the moments you cherish with your friends and family. That means
that's absolutely it. And I mean, you know, that's still, I mean, you know, there's days you have good days, and there's days that other people have better days. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And, I mean, you know, we're always happy to see, you know, our brothers and sisters in smoke, you know, do well. And,
yeah.
Matter of fact,
oh, yeah.
Jennifer was asking me, where did the Gerald's cook? Did they cook in Midland this weekend? Do you know?
No, I really don't. Who are you talking about?
Pellet Mafia, Crystal Gerald. You know, she's from down there where you're at. She cooks in La Mesa with us every year. I think, matter of fact, she was a reserve again this year down there.
Okay, yes. You know what? They, I don't know. I don't know if they cooked here in Midland or not. I really don't. I know they had a cook-off. It was a Tex-Mex.
Yeah,
cook-off, I think.
Tejano cook-off.
Right, Tejano cook-off or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they cooked it or not. So.
Well, we're talking about
I
it.
Heard it.
You know, Toby and them cooked Brownfield. We were in Littlefield. You guys were in Lovington. And to my knowledge, they weren't at any of those that I know of.
Right.
Supposedly, she got a grand champion this weekend, too, and she just qualified for the American Royal.
Sure.
On Facebook it said Kansas City Royal. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's America Royal, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this one here in Midland was a quantifier for it. It might have been. I don't know.
If it was first year, it only took 15 teams to qualify.
Right.
If it was first year kickoff. So I know it was sanctioned by Lone Star. So I'm assuming.
Oh, that's right. It was a Lone Star cookoff. That's right.
Yeah. See, I was kind of surprised about that. You know, they brought over some flyers when we were in Andrews, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. And one of the guys from down there posted it the other day, and I looked it up, and it was Lone Star. And and like I said, if it was first annual, they only had to have 15 teams to qualify. So, that's probably the case down there. Like I said, you know, it was just there was also one in Sayre, Oklahoma, too, IBCA.
In Jangle or something like that?
Do it now?
I think it was the Boots in Jangle or something like that. They're in Kerr, Oklahoma?
Yeah, something like that.
Sayre. I had it planned to go to it, but Levington was, you know, it's always a first priority. It's a good cook-off to go to, so.
Oh, yeah.
There was 12 teams in Fair, Oklahoma.
Okay,
oh,
so
were there?
When I talked to Dana on Friday, that's how many there were. She was the head judge there, and there was only 12.
Wow. That's surprising. Wow. I guess.
Well, if that's the case, then it didn't sanction.
No.
Right.
It's not.
They
it's
had to have 15 teams.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Unless they had other teams pay before that didn't show up, that's the only way it could have been.
And that could have happened too. You never know. You know, I've been to a lot of cook-offs where there's guys rolling in at 9 o'clock in the morning cooking. You know,
right?
And,
yeah.
It's like, damn, that's got to be a little stressful.
We had a couple roll in about 1:30 in the morning at Littlefield. There was two of them.
See, I can do that. I could pull, you know, if I could roll in, to be honest with you, if I could roll into a competition by 3, an IBCA competition where, you know, your brisket turn in at 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock, I'd be okay. KCBS, I couldn't do it. I mean, I guess you probably could, but, I mean, it'd be rough. Pulling at 3 o'clock in the morning for one of those for your pork butt, for your brisket.
Day before, right?
Do I now?
You're talking about coming in the day before the actual cook-off,
right? No, I'm
not right?
coming in on Saturday morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning.
Oh, hell.
That'd
I've never done that.
So, you know. But, yeah. You know, for a KBCS, that'd be really hard. For a IBCA, where you got a 3 o'clock turn-in for brisket, you know, you can do it. I mean, that's not too bad. But for the try to cook a KBCS, I like a little bit more time for my pork butts and my brisket. I mean, you know, just be on the safe side. You know, you could probably get them cooked. You know, we've done briskets in 6 hours, but, you know how it is. I mean, you know, it gives you no fudge room. If something happens, you know, and you
well,
know, the thing about
no
it.
Time to, yeah, there's no time to correct anything, yeah.
Yeah,
you're trying to brine stuff,
you know, trying to inject. I don't think you'll have a good cook. I mean, that's just me personally.
If you do pretty good, but you know, I wouldn't even show up at a cook-off at that time. There's too much time to, you know, you got to prepare and get everything ready and, you know, you just got to be right on the money to complete. It's hard to roll in at that time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I could probably pull in the Ballinger. I could probably pull Ballinger off. It's tough hours for me. And, you know, if I got done around, you know, 10 or 11 here, I could roll down there and I could be in there around 12, 1 o'clock. And, you know, I've cooked in those kind of contests. And like I said, I mean, when your brisket turn, it's not till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not so you've got a little bit of time to do some stuff. And, you know, especially if you got your meat and everything already trimmed and everything, I mean, all you got to do is, you got all your injections and all your stuff made. All you had to, you know, roll up, you know, inject and you know, you've got CRs on that end of it. But
KBCS, what's injection?
Injection, you know what injection is.
Yeah, what does that mean? Man, you don't have to inject, you know that. Injection.
No, I know you don't. No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I don't inject, but I mean,
you know what, this is the thing. You know, everybody's got their own quirks and stuff. You know, injection's good. I've done it. I've tried it, and it just doesn't work for me. I'm just an old school cook that's just learned new ways to overcome the injection side. And then, you know, I really honestly like it better than not having to inject. But, you know, it just takes different techniques and ways to get around it. And I'm fortunate enough, I guess, I was able to do it without having to inject. And I really can't do it like that. But, you know, everybody's got their own technique.
I've done it. The one thing about the injection, and my main thing about injection is it's not a flavor thing. It's a moisture control thing. Because, you know, when you slice a brisket, it's going to start drying. And so... what I'm using more for anything is just moisture. I mean, it's not really so much a flavor thing. It's a moisture retention, you know, because, you know, especially in IBC and stuff like that, you get in the bigger contests, I mean, where your box is sitting around for a long time, you know, you get 60 teams, 80 teams, stuff like that. That's where it really makes a difference. And some of the smaller ones, they're going to go through the boxes pretty quick. It's not as a big a deal. You know, where you've got, you know, 20 or 30 teams, it's not as, you know, huge because they're going to go through the boxes pretty quickly. But, you know, when you get into those bigger ones, it's like, like when we did the Western Woods where you got 150 teams. And, you know, you've got, they're going through 3 to 4 tables. You know, you're going through your first table, your preliminary, then quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And that box is being opened up every one of them times, that's where the injection helps. That's where it helps in those big deals like that. These little ones, it don't make that big of a difference. I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, all my catering stuff, I don't inject any of myself catering. And, you know, I don't, you know, it's you're right. It's good. It's no problem. But, you know, those are things to, you know, sometimes you got to deal with. And, you know, that's one thing about brisket is as soon as you slice it, bad boy, it starts drying out. Or, you know, all of them that I do, you know.
You know what? Using this new smoker up, the Myron Mixon smoker, I'll tell you what, you don't have to wrap. You can if you want. You don't really have to. I still do. You know, I'm just accustomed to do that. I haven't injected my briskets. Don't have to. There's just so much moisture retention inside the chamber that just unreal. You almost
Are you running a water pan?
You don't have to wrap.
Are you running a water pan?
There's a water pan, and I do use the water pan when I do pork, but for briskets, you don't have to. That thing is so efficient, and there's so much moisture in that chamber. You don't. Really don't need a water pan. It's cool, man. I'm really excited to start using it this year for competitions. Next time you get a chance, Nance, you need to check it out. It's an awesome deal. So
we'll cook together here pretty soon, I'm sure. I know we'll probably cook together at breakfast and you know.
Junior gonna be there?
What's that?
Are you gonna be there?
Breast Fest?
Yeah.
Lubbock, Texas?
I think that's where it's at.
What, August 8th, 9th?
Pretty sure that's what it is.
Junior, I said, it better be nice. Otherwise, you know, Junior, we'll just go somewhere else.
You know, I'll tell you what. You know, every time there's a cook-off there in Buffalo, it's at Buffalo Springs Lake, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. It's always a good time there in Buffalo Springs Lake. It's just, there's plenty of room for all the cooks, and I was loving it. You know, there's big trees. There's RV hookups. There's, you know, I think it's a good place. It's a good meeting spot for all the cooks. And, yeah, definitely, I think I got it already on my schedule. So I'll be excited. I think Barbecue Superstars is going to be there too, right?
Yep. We're going to be there.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of us there, actually. Chris Chadwick's coming. Daryl Mass is coming. He's bringing Lori with him, Barn Goddess. So, yeah, it's going to be
awesome. Oh, yeah.
And then John will be there. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be awesome. Can't wait. It'll be definitely a good time. So, also, just a good environment, good cook. So, there's, you know,
are you
what
doing
I like
your,
about this?
Are you doing your non-alcoholic margarita this year?
Yeah. Tell you what, my 14-year-old daughter won that
2 years
ago. She won with it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she might do it this year again, so we'll see.
There you go.
Jeff, I think we were. Yes, sir, you got to go?
Yeah, I really do, man. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for having me. It means a lot. Well, hope to see you on the trail pretty soon. I miss you this weekend. I wish you could have gone. It was a good cook-off. So, but appreciate you having me. Jennifer, y'all have a good night. Happy Father's Day to all the people out there that are real good fathers. You know, it means a lot. Appreciate you, guys. So, anyways,
thanks
for having me, Lance. We'll talk to you soon, amigo.
All right, man. You be good. And like I said, congratulations, and thanks for coming on. You're welcome to come on anytime, too. Remember that. So,
I know that, man.
Something like that, you just holler at me, buddy, and we'll get it done. Okay.
You got it, amigo. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
All right,
good night.
You have a good night.
Bye.
Well, there we go. Yeah, so I'll see. I got a couple of us coming this year, I guess. So no, we'll be there. It's always a good cook-off. You're right. It's you always put on a good cook-off. We've been there. I guess it'd be my third year. Y'all done, this will be the fourth annual, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
The first year we had 9, and the second year we had 28. Last year we had 63, and this year we're planning on, we're hoping for 100, actually. That's our goal this year. And I know a guy from Dallas that I talked to the other day, and he said he has several friends that live in Fort Worth, and they're going to go to Red River and then spend the week at the lake. So that's what I'm saying. You better get there early because it's going to get full pretty quick. And they added 35 new spots, so that'll be good. And if worse comes to worse, we'll put people at the amphitheater. They'll have to bring a generator. But I don't know how well the camping spots will be if you pull in there Friday night. I mean, it's going to be pretty packed. Because last year we filled up that entire side of the lake just with the 63, but then they added all those new spots. So that makes us think that they can hold, you know, 100. So hope so anyways. I don't know. We'll see. We've had a few people register already, but not very many.
Well, like I said, I'm going to try to get down there like Sunday electrical.
The only thing that sucks about Buffalo is you can't reserve spots. Even us, we cannot reserve our spot. And we have had the same spot for 4 years. And so I told John, I was like, we're going to have to get down there like Monday. I mean, literally, you know, to get that spot that we want.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be an expensive week.
Well, I mean, $25
than that.
Well, I might get a little bit of a break, but you never know. It's all different now with the new girl running it, you know, with Camille doing it, not Jennifer. It's completely different for us. So that'll be all right, though.
Yeah, it'll be all right. Yep. So, no, I mean, that's it. I mean, but no, it's like, what you were talking about earlier about, you know, turn-in time stuff, you know, I don't know. It is different. You know, cooking American Royal, you know, we did that on a Saturday. we did all of the main turn-ins, and we did the ancillary category too, which was three of them. We did sausage. So I said, okay. But you do chicken, ribs, pork, brisket. We did beans, sausage, and potato salad that day. So that's, seven turn-ins we did. And for the most part, they were on 30-minute turn-ins.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big key is, you know, and you understand, they had 17 acres of cookers. We were, our walk was 7 minutes to the turn-in. It took us 7 minutes one way to get to a turn-in. And then you stood in line. And so I actually had two runners for that. And, I mean, so one went. And,
did
you know,
take a golf cart or anything?
I do not believe that you can have any of that kind of stuff because there's just too many people. There's just too many people walking. And you got to understand, I mean, it's just packed in there. And so, but, you know, like I said, you can figure it out. I mean, what, you know, and the best thing is, I mean, you get your stuff done, especially your big meat. You need to have them bad boys ready. Of course, you know, they should be resting by then anyways. But, you know, as soon as you do a turn-in, then you turn around and you, you know, you just start prepping your next meat and get your box ready. And, you know, by then, you know, you're running again. The other deal is they only have 5-minute windows. Well, actually, I say that. We've actually got 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after in IBCA. In Kansas City, you have 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after. So, yeah, it's a 10-minute window to where, you know, we generally have like 20 minutes for IBCA.
Right.
So that's the other big difference.
We had a couple people this weekend pushing that window pretty hard every time, and I'm like, you know, when it's supposed to be turned in. Come on, now. Hurry up.
I pushed it in one of them.
Yeah, I saw
I was
that.
I was having problems with ribs. You know, I had to run back up to Plainview, and I had my brother-in-law put them on, and I think I probably told him I should have had him put them on about 30 minutes earlier because one of the things I didn't account for, and I really wasn't thinking about it, was that, you know, it was like the time that you know, John had to come over and pull the briskets off and stuff for the cell water deal. I wasn't thinking about that, you know, having ribs on at the same time and that going on, that, you know, that was going to change that. And so, you know, so, I mean, it's one of those deals. I mean, you just don't think about all that. I didn't think about it. And, but, you know, that takes a few minutes to get all your briskets and stuff off. So, you know, I should have had to put them on about 30 minutes earlier. And, you know, it's one of the deals. I mean, I knew it. I mean, I could tell when I shimped them that, you know, I was literally probably about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes off on my temperatures. And so I was pushing it to pretty much, I mean, for me, I mean, I think I had about 3 or 4 minutes left on turn-in. And that's really pushing it for me because I never run it quite that far. Never had to. So, you know.
Well, we had a guy pull up in his truck. And I think it was brisket. Yeah, I know it was brisket because we sent him back and made him trim it some more because it wasn't the right width. Pulled up like 10 seconds before the clock turned. to the top, the 310. And Matt just looked at me and he goes, well, you make the decision. And I said, he was here. I mean, he was here. So, you know, we'll let him go. And he didn't get anything. He didn't place him anything, I don't think. But, you know, it was like he was one of the backyard cooks and just out there to support it and whatever. But next year, I promise that cook-off's going to be run better because the guy that was actually writing the checks, Max, I went to school with his son, and I told him, I said, call me next year and let me help y'all, you know, with certain things, like the trays, you know, and the cups. I mean, I brought my cups and whatever, but if there is a storm, get us a building that we can go in and do the cooks meeting, so we don't have the same problem we had this past, you know, this year or whatever, and different things like that. I mean, there's just certain things that need to be brushed up on. That's also a pay, in my opinion, a paid out guarantee is better than a percentage, because if you've got 50 cooks, then yeah, your payout's going to be good if you do 100% payout. But if you do a percentage and it's 9 cooks, that's crap, you know? So we need to change a couple things. And I told them that. I said, I'll help you. I'll tell you what I know. I mean, not that I'm a genius or anything or know everything there is to know, but I've done it for 4 years, and ours seems to be rocking and rolling. So I will help them as much as I can. I'm willing to help anybody, you know, if they've got questions.
Sure.
I'm always out there to answer questions and help and whatever, because I live and breathe Breast Fest, and I say that every time I'm on your show, but I do. And I try, we all try, not just me, we all try to make it the best that we can every single year, whether it means a bigger payout or adding a different category. And like last year, Ray Bonner came on your show right after Breast Fest was over, the weekend after, actually, or the Sunday after, and he said, I would rather have a payout beans, chicken breast, and margaritas first or third. Because our bean winner last year went $230-something.
Yeah.
You know, and so split that up. I mean, give people an opportunity. So that's what we're doing this year. Depending on how many entries we have, we will pay first through third. You know, we can't guarantee a prize money on that because it's depending on entries. But if you've got 50 entries on beans and we pay first through third, that's still a pretty good payout. So
sure.
Anyways, but we just want to split it up because it sucks. I mean, if you come in second, you're like, well, damn, I didn't even get $10 for making those beans. You know? That kind of sucks. So that's what we're changing up this year.
No, that is it. I mean, you know, sometimes it happens. I mean, you know, it is. That is his first year, and, you know, heck, I mean, you know, I think it went pretty well. And, you know, you're always going to have some, you know, there's always going to be some issues here and there. And hell, I mean, if someone don't have something to bitch about it or something, then, you know, hell, you know, something's wrong, I guess.
Well, I was just upset that it came back on me and Matt being the head judges because we, at this point, when Toby called me, we had only had one turn-in. And I'm like, did we do something wrong on the bean turn-in? I mean, I'm confused. And he said that guy was complaining that there were people in the judging area that were actually judging that had family members in there that were judging food. And he named you. And I was like, what? I said, Lance's, okay, first of all, Lance's wife, daughter, brother-in-law, niece, whoever, they're all here, but I have not seen them in the judging area. And we did. We had two ladies walk up and ask if they could judge. And they had on team T-shirts, and you could tell they're with the team. And I asked them, I said, are you with a cook? Yes. Then I'm sorry, you cannot judge.
Right.
And they're like, why? And I explained it to them, because at this point, you've seen their beans, you've seen their ribs, you've seen their chicken, you're going to know whose is whose, maybe, possibly. I mean, if you're a huge cook-off, like with 50-plus teams, there's no way you can tell. There's no, unless they garnish a tray or mark the tray, which we look for at turn-ins, there's no way you can tell. But with just having 16 teams, it's a possibility that they would know. I mean, it's just like me tasting the chicken. I knew it was somebody that, it was you or John. I knew that. And I guess Tom apparently used some of your rub because I could taste it, but that's just me knowing, you know, and that I didn't taste it till after it had already been judged and after it had already been placed, you know, but I knew it was one of y'all. But that's the deal. I mean, you can't, and both of those ladies were like, no, we understand, it's fine, not a big deal. So I don't know if that's what he was talking about. I'm not real sure, but I hate that it came back on us because we did absolutely nothing wrong. I mean, I'm not sitting out there at the end of the table going, okay, y'all see number 8 box? That's my husband, so y'all give him a 10. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's not the way it happens. And that's what, you know, it's so funny is I tell this story all the time, but when we were in Andrews, you know, as well as I do, on the porch, it was not sanctioned. And so I took the turn-ins, and I sent you back. I sent Toby back. I sent John back. I sent all of y'all back. And I said, this is, you know, because they wanted the pulled, the sliced, and the chopped or whatever it was. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, and y'all are all my, you know, my friends, and I hang out with y'all all the time. And I'm like, sorry, got to go back. You know, I'm not going to favor anybody over anybody. I mean,
it's not going to happen.
And I know Toby was really upset with me because he was like, what? No, mine's right. And I'm like, no, Toby, you're way off. It is not right. And he was like, it's falling apart. I can't get anything. And I said, then go get some Lance's. Like, go steal something off his plate or something. I don't know what to tell you. But in your mind,
I mean,
you're in.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and that was not told at the cook's meeting. Or apparently it wasn't. It was told at the cook's meeting, which was that morning, but it wasn't told the night before.
Yeah.
And everybody
and
cooked
it. That's a huge
deal.
Yeah. And that was a big deal. And that was my only issue with the whole situation is that, you know, if they want sliced pork, I mean, I have no problem with that at all. It's just that we need to know the night before because we're throwing our butts on. And, you know, when we're just doing pulled pork, you know, heck, we let some things just kind of cook until they're really, really tender. And, you know, but that's the problem is if you go that far with it and they want sliced, you got big problems. And, I mean, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, you know, I was able to get a few slices off of mine, and then I went over and, because your husband had the same problem, too. And I dug through some of his butt and finally found, you know, a pizza we could slice a little bit of it. And,
right.
You know, we were able to slice a couple of pizzas and get it off. But, I mean, it was tough. And,
right.
You know, that's what I told the promoter. I said, you know, I said, I didn't have an issue with that, but I said, we need to know the night before or something like that if that's what we're expected to do. And, you know, a lot of times I like having a cook's meeting on Friday nights because you get all that out of the way and then something you don't have to mess with on Saturday. You know, for the most part, unless they just have them real early. But, you know, when we've been having them at 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, to be honest with you, that, to me, that works out pretty well. That way, you know, that pork's all done and then, you know, most time, no one's got any meat on by then anyways, or
right.
Most of us. And,
well, we're doing 100% pulled at breakfast, just so everybody knows it is pulled. Because after that happened...
part of the grand champion, too. It's not a jackpot it is either, is it?
Right. It is a grand... It's part of the grand, yes. You have to... Yeah. You have to cook it to be grand. But, After that cook-off happened, we actually had a breakfast meeting that night when I got home, and I said, we're doing pulled, because I had to deal with that. I mean, there were so many people I sent back, and I'm just like, I don't want to send anybody back at ours saying, oh, I'm sorry, you've got to get chopped. And it's so much easier for y'all. I mean, if you just throw it on there and cook it all night, and it's tender. And when we say pulled, a lot of people don't understand that, because, like, you could tell from this weekend, there were people that put, like, big old huge chunks in there. And that's, as long as you do, I mean, you literally sit there and pull it with your fingers. Am I correct? Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
You don't cut
yeah.
it. No,
yeah.
You pull. That's the whole point.
Some people shred it. I mean, like Stan Brenham's, his was shredded. That's what we call more of a shred. And then pulled, you know, pulled is kind of a widely used term there. You can have some chunks, you know, I mean, within reason. And then, you know, some people shred it.
That's what I'm saying. Some people's were,
yeah.
their chunks were way big.
Like,
way.
Quarter pound
like
chunks.
a whole little piece. And you're like, no. Mm. We want bite size. That's the, way,
yeah.
the best way to describe it is bite size.
Yeah. And so, you know, so I kind of chunked them. And now, you know, when I do a KBCS contest, you know, we do some pulled. We'll do some more of what they call shredded, more style.
And then we'll also do the slice. We'll have three different types of pork in that box, three different
right.
ways. And, you know, I have found, you know, I used to just do, just pull it, shred it, you know, whatever. And at KVTF, I never did well, real well. So then I kind of learned the thing about the money muscle. And so the first time I did the money muscle, I mean, man, we went to hit. And, you know, kind of learned that. And, I mean, if you ever took KVTS or FBA or something like that, I mean, that makes a big difference.
I still don't understand that. I don't understand it. I don't know what they're talking about. But, I mean, I'm not a cook, but I don't. That's what they asked this weekend. Do you want the money muscle? And I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah, the money muscle is just, okay, you know what a pork tenderloin is?
Yeah.
Okay. On a pork butt, there's a muscle on there that is very similar to a pork tenderloin, okay? And so what generally what we do is you have to cut more than one butt to accomplish all these different deals because, like a pork tenderloin, you know, you don't take a thing to maybe 145, you know, top 150. But on a money muscle, you're going to take them to, you know, a lot of guys, and it kind of varies from 180 to 190. And then they slice it to look like a pork tenderloin. Okay? That's what it looks like in that box, like a pork tenderloin. And that muscle is kind of, it's just kind of on the front of that. It's on the opposite side of where the bone is in the pork butt. And that's what they call a money muscle. And so, you know, that's why they use it. And, but what the deal is you've got to, you got to cook it to a different temperature than what you would cook your pulled pork. Because if you cook it to 195, 200 like you do your pulled pork, it's mush.
Right.
And they'll know it. As soon as they pick it up and bite into it, they're going to know it, and they're gonna knock you for it. Because they're going to say, man, you overcooked that pork butt. So,
right.
The money muscle. So that's what they're looking for is, you know, it's not so much that there's three different meats as it is they're wanting to know that you know how to properly cook that meat three different ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they want it to, you know, to have some form, but they want it to be tender. And so that's what they're looking for is technique. Is do you know how to properly cook those different muscles in a butt to the different temperatures and stuff that they require? And that's what they're looking at. They're looking at technique. You know, and it's kind of hard in IBCA because we really don't get into a lot of technique per se. You know what I'm saying? Because we cut it with a fork and a knife. So, you know, it's like ribs. Ribs, you know, if you cook them till they damn near fall to the bone in IBCA. In KVCS, you don't do that. They're going to pick up that rib, and they're going to bite into that rib, and if they have a tug to it, they're going to dock you for it, or if they bite into it and all the meat comes off the bone in your mouth one swoop, you're going to get docked again. So they want to be able to bite in there and have a perfect little half-moon bite mark all the way to the bone. It's going to come clean off the bone. It's not going to leave any meat right there where you bit on that bone. It should come off clean without any tug. That's a properly cooked rib in KBCS, FBA, stuff like that. So those are the differences. Same thing with brisket. They're going to pick your brisket up, and a lot of them, what they'll do is they'll stick out a finger, and they might just put that brisket over and just see if it limps over and see if it stays together.
Right.
So they want it to stay together, and then when they grab a hold of it, they want it to pull, but just have just a tad bit of resistance, but to be tender. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In IBCA, what do? We cook them to essentially what we call pot roast, damn near, because they're going to cut it with a fork and a knife.
Right.
And so that's why you see most of them, you know, most of them will fall apart in IBCA. So those are the differences that really happened, and that's what they're looking at. They're looking at theoretically appearance, taste, and tenderness. That's where tenderness is your second most, their weighted total. So appearance has the least amount of weight, taste has the most amount of weight, and then appearance has the second most. And so all that we're just talking about. Do what?
We also emphasize smell
Well, yeah, it does smell like barbecue. You know. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's attractive, absolutely. I mean, and so
there was a couple bean pups that we picked up this weekend that after the judging was all done and they were marked, you know, first or 11th or whatever, that I picked up and I said, oh my gosh, it smells like somebody just poured a beer straight into this thing. You know,
okay.
I looked at Matt and I said, hey, you want to get drunk? And he was like, excuse me? I said, you want to get drunk? And he's like, Jennifer, it's 11. And I'm like, well, if you want to, just down these beans real quick. Because that's what it smells like. I mean, and he's like, oh, my God, it does. Really, it really does. So smell
is
one of the things.
Some people put beer in their beans. Yeah.
Huh?
So I said some people put beer in their beans.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it works for some people. Some people it doesn't.
So,
it just depends on the flavor. I mean, that's one thing that we tell them, though. I mean, when we get up there, we go through each criteria and tell them, this is what you're doing. This is what you're trying to taste. You know, and we and another thing that we do that some of the judges seem to not understand, and you have to emphasize it big time, is you're not judging one against another. It's not that way at all. You are giving them a score based on that one. So you're not going to taste number 7 and give it a 6 and then go to number 8 and go, oh, well, I liked it better. So I'm going to give it a 9.
That is what happens. And, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. But that still, it still is an influence. And I'm going to tell you, it happens right now. And there's no way to stop that. But if, you know, if they taste something, I mean, and then they being something else better, you know, it happens. And, I mean, you're right. It's not supposed to be that way. That's human nature, though. It's like, man, I take the box 3, man, that was a hell of a lot better than you know, box 5.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, it is. It's a tough deal. It's a tough thing to control. And I guarantee you it happens off at probably 98% of the contests that is done that way. Regardless, I mean, you know, KBC Essence stuff like that, it's even more, probably even more prevalent because there's only 6 trays on that table. And then they're going to sit there and they're going to discuss what they liked and what they didn't like. Just like when you watch Barbecue Pitmasters, they're going to discuss the ins and the outs about that box.
No, and you're not allowed to talk about the barbecue whatsoever. And that's why we have 2 table monitors at our table at all times. And what happens is they say, like me being the head judge, I will say, you can talk about politics, sex, and religion. I really don't care if you want to talk about what goes on in your bedroom. But if you talk about this meat or this bean or whatever, I will ask you to get up and leave. Because it cannot be discussed. And we tell them, you know, it's very hard to do this, but try not to make a facial expression. If it's absolutely nasty, don't spit it across the table at the person in front of you because it's gross. You know, I mean, and we make everybody, you cannot put a 0. You have to give them a 1. Give them the credit that they came out here and they tried.
Yeah.
They, I mean, you know, as a cooker, how much money do you spend going to a kickoff?
In case it's yes. I mean, if you give a 1, they've been disqualified.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. No, I mean,
yeah.
And I've seen very few 1s in my time.
Oh, yeah.
I really have. But I've seen very few 10s. I mean, honestly. Because we tell them, this is the best of the best of the best. Like, you've never had anything better in your life than what you're eating right now. I mean, that's what we tell them. It's got to be amazing to get it in. I mean, it's hard to do. It really is. And I wish the only thing that I wish IBCA would change was that it wouldn't be 1 through 10, that it would be 1 through 5, just because, which would be hard, for reserve and grand and all that.
Right.
But it makes it so much, because I judge, me personally, I have sat down and actually judged a category. I've judged beans, I've done ribs and chicken. And chicken's my absolute favorite. But it is hard to pick. Like, if you've got kind of a mediocre thing, you know, you're like, well, do I go with a 4 or do I go with a 6? I mean, it's really, it's kind of hard. It's kind of challenging, in my opinion. But
I hear you.
I don't know. I love IBCO, though. I think that they have by far the most fair thing because, like what you did, I've never been a quesadillas. I've never cooked. I've never judged. I've never done anything in that whole cook-off thing. But my deal on that is people can influence anybody. I mean, you get somebody in there that is like a car salesman, and they're sitting at the table and they're discussing it. Who's to say they're not swaying somebody else's opinion? They're like, well, I really like this, and this is why, and this is whatever. I'm not putting them down. I've never been to one. I don't know how it works. I'm just saying that that's my personal opinion. You know, and as a cook, I think I would much rather go, if I cooked, I would much rather have 10 different opinions than 6 that were possibly swayed.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I mean, okay, and it's like I've always said, and I've said this 100% time. If we have the double-blind judging, like IBCA, and then we have the setup with the KBCS, the way that they judge, and the way that, you know where everybody places, I think you'd have a perfect deal. Okay?
Yes.
I'm not saying either one of them are perfect. They're not. That's the thing with me is that I think that there is a combination between several of these judging organizations that you could take and you could implement it, that you would come up with a lot better. I'm not gonna say
a perfect sanctioning body,
but
they're pretty close to
you know. But yeah, but I mean a lot better way that you know that way it is totally blind, but yet you know where everybody places because that is a big deal, and you know so. And that's why it's like Mark. Matter of fact, we got Mark in, and we got another person in. Hold on a second. Let me cue these guys in real quick. Hey, Mark, you there?
Good evening. How are you fine folks this evening?
Hi,
I'm
Mark.
Great, man. I'm great.
Hello, Miss Jennifer. How are you, darling?
Fabulous. How are you?
Well, good. I called in tonight, and while I was on the phone listening to y'all yak, you actually answered my question. Well, you didn't answer it totally. My question is, I'm thinking I want to have the cooks meeting Friday night about 9 o'clock at night for our contest. Okay. My question is, why do they have cooks meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning? You know, when as a cook, I'm either needing to start making sure the fire's ready for chicken, or I need to be wrapping ribs, or you know what I mean? It's right in the
middle
of prime
time. Well, you know
why
I think that it happens like that, Mark? Well, the reason why I think that it happens this way is just like what I was talking about. It'd be the same situation. Like, let's say I go to Ballinger, Texas here in a couple of weeks. If I able to do that, I won't pull in there till probably 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So I will miss the cook's meeting. So, you know, theoretically, you got some guys out there are hot and fast guys, and then you've also got some of them that are not cooking all the categories. And I think that's probably where that started was. And the other side of that was that, you know, then they didn't have to technically, since the promoter is in charge of whether or not there is a meat inspection with like IVCA, It's not the head judge's job to inspect meat. It's solely up to the discretion of the promoter whether or not they're going to inspect the meat. So really, theoretically, most of the time, you don't need a head judge there until Saturday morning. And the other part of that is then if they do that, then they don't have to pay room and board Friday night for a head judge. Pay a little bit of gas money to get them there and their feet and blah, blah, blah. So there's the other side of that, too. And so I think that those are the reasons why that happens. I don't know. Now, we actually have a head judge. Is any of that relevant?
Well,
yeah,
I mean, I
agree with that statement, too. I think that some people choose to do it on Saturday for two reasons. One is, yes, because they don't have to pay an extra day for that head judge to be there. And also, people worry about their trays the tray's getting damaged. And that happens a lot of times, you know, okay, even the cook-off, Mark, where people are intoxicated. Not that I've ever been one of those people. I'm just saying.
Well,
some people get a cook-off and then...
I can testify. I've never seen you intoxicated. That was a...
But, you know, some people get their trays and then they either, A, crush them because they're just being dumb and, you know, intoxicated or whatever. And two, they can lose them. I mean, and that's scary because you get somebody, the next morning they come up and they go, well, I don't have my tray. I crushed it last night or I lost it last night. Okay, it's different if somebody comes up with a tray and they're like, look, it broke. But when you completely give them another tray because they say they lost it, at that point they can have two turn-ins.
Does that make sense? What you're saying. Yeah. My deal of it is looking at it from my perspective, as inexpensive as it is to have IBCA judge your tournament, from a cook's perspective, I personally would take the money out of my pocket and pay for a motel room in order to have the meeting on Friday night. And if you miss the meeting, most people, okay, the meeting is held for newbies, in my opinion.
Yes.
Okay,
I agree.
It's the same meeting every time. The only reason I need to attend the meeting is to get my trays.
Exactly.
Okay, and, yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it. Now,
and make sure you got the same
turning time. You want, that's like this weekend where I was at. I was over there with Junior and them boys, okay? It was a debate on Friday as to what the turn-in times were going to be, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, late that evening, well, yeah, it's going to be, you know, 12, 1, and 2, and 2:30 for the anything goes. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm through entering jackpots. I heard y'all's discussion on Pulled Pork and Andrews versus what Pulled Pork in Lubbock's going to be versus what KCBS Pulled Pork is. You can pull pork, Miss Jennifer, and have chunks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree. It depends on how big that chunk is. What I'm saying is do it at a bite size.
That's what you're saying for Lubbock, okay? And I'm perfectly fine with that, okay? I mean, everybody knows that's what your expectations are, I'm sure everybody will meet that, okay? But to like what Lance was saying, okay, if you do a KCBS contest or FBA, okay, you're putting three different styles of pulled pork in the box. You're putting pulled like you're suggesting, Miss Jennifer, and you're putting chunks like you didn't really care for in your one you looked at this weekend. Plus, you're putting in slices of the money muscle. You're putting in all three, and technically, the shredded that you prefer, Miss Jennifer, and the chunked are both pulled. They're not actually. You know, those chunks wasn't cut with a knife. What pull is what a lot of cooks call tube meat.
Yes.
I will make it
very well known at mine that it needs to be shredded or it needs to be a bite size. Because when you have shredded, they can get a bunch of it on the fork.
I'm talking big chunks. That tube meat, you can pull it off, and it will be a big chunk. That piece right there by the bone is good tender meat, and you can pull that off and set that right in the box like that. You bet, that's good meat right there.
Right.
But the deal is, if you know what your expectations are, okay, then as cooks you can meet that. And, you know, like y'all both said, Andrews will do better with that next year. But quite frankly, if it's a jackpot, I'm about burnt out on jackpots. Like I say, over, you know, in La Mesa, I get third place in a jackpot. And yeah, I got a little bit of money out of it, but Andrew's jackpot, winner take all. Nah, I ain't in there no more of that.
I don't watch it. They call it.
I mean, it's too expensive. Okay, for a winner take all, and
exactly.
I don't know. To me, it
that's why
be,
they don't
I'm
need
entering,
to call it jackpot.
Yeah, I'm entering sanctioned categories. Now, on y'all's point about IBCA, FBA, KCBS, I'm going to tell you up front, I'm in agreement. I think about 98% with you, Lance, okay? IBCA has flaws. FBA has flaws. KCBS has flaws. They all have flaws, okay? But as a cook, okay, that's just like this weekend in Lovington. We had some great cooks over there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it was, to me, as good a field as I've cooked in this year, probably barring San Marcos, okay? But I drove away from Lovington, okay, and quite frankly, I thought two of my three sanctioned meets were on the mark, okay? On the mark. Did not finish in the top 10 anywhere. Did not make the final 10, the final table anywhere.
And you went away questioning why.
And I don't have a scorecard. I don't, I don't even know how I finished in it. Okay?
Yep.
I spent $180 entering. I cooked two briskets, three racks of ribs, and two chickens, and two pork butts. Okay? And, of course, it wasn't but 20 miles away from home. So, I didn't have a whole lot of gas money. Okay? But I'd have been just as well off. I'd have known as much about my cooking had I cooked in my backyard.
Right.
Okay? I have no idea as to why, okay, or what the judges thought about my food. Do I think I got cheated? No, I don't think I got cheated. Okay, that's not ever been my point.
But you want a benchmark to know where to improve and where not to what to do.
My point is, when I pay my entry fee, I expect results. Okay, and results, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't care. Okay, give me a scorecard that tells me what y'all thought about my food. Now, I may not agree with that scorecard, okay? I may not. But it doesn't matter to me. At least I got something for my entry.
Right.
Other than thank you and please come back next year. Okay? And as far as what goes on in the back rooms, I can't tell you what goes on in the back rooms of a FBA contest or a KCBS because, quite frankly, I ain't ever been in the one back room I've been in, okay, was IBCA, okay? And, quite frankly, that caused me to go on about a five-year vacation from barbecue cook-offs because at the time, okay, It was chaos back there. Everybody, oh, good, free barbecue, cold beer to wash it down with. Okay, well, as a cook that's spending their money, if you go back there and see that right there, you're going, man, I'd be better off roasting hot dogs in the backyard.
Yep.
Hey, so
Mark, hold on just a second.
Hold
on just a second. Let me get this one out of the log in before we go into recording here. That way I can get them in. Hold on just a second. 432-213, you're live. Who do we have?
Hey, Lance, this is Matt. I was just listening in to see what happened in Littlefield this weekend. I didn't get to catch all
crazy.
The end of the show. But
Well, not a problem, man. We're going to let Mark finish up real quick, and we'll talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. So,
All right, Mark, I'm just about finished, okay,
Lance. My position is I think I'm 98% agreement with you, okay? I mean, I've had bad taste left in my mouth from IBCA. I've had it with FBA years ago, OK? okay? KCBS, reading here, flaws that they have. Quite frankly, I don't think as a cook we can ever, quote-unquote, blame the judges, okay? But to me, any legitimate contest, to me, and legitimate may be too strong a word, but as a person that enters a competition, you like to see the results, whether they're good or bad. And,
sure.
And you know, quite frankly, that just doesn't happen in the IBCA. And I begged the lady earlier in the year before we picked a sanctioning body, okay, to consider a way to do that, and she had no interest, none. Didn't even want to discuss it. So,
yes, sir.
And I'm just like the gentleman that you just logged on. I want to hear about Littlefield, but before you go into that, I want to let you know my cook in Lovington this weekend probably did not go as well because I did not have no air horn near me.
Damn it.
Well, I swear why these guys are going to get kicked for that shit.
Well, I heard about 4 o'clock in the 4 o'clock in the morning, Jennifer. I looked down there at the time and I thought, where is Lance with the stinking air horn? No wonder I'm lost.
That's kind of a funny deal. I guess I just rolled over on the button that morning. You know, I always put my keys on a carabiner, and someone else said it went off too. And I didn't hear it, to be honest with you. But, you know, I had already been there once that weekend. You know, I'd gone there Thursday night, and I didn't get home till 4 o'clock Friday morning, went to work, and then drove back down there. So when I finally did go to sleep, I think I was probably dead of the world. And I left my keys on my belt loop, and I rolled over, and I must have honked it at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I apologize for that, but things happen.
I didn't hear it.
You know, it's all fun. It's all good. Like I say, I it's just a good thing to pick at you about, buddy. I knew you wasn't going to be there, but at 4 o'clock, I mean, we had all kind of weather in Lovington. I mean, it come a gully washer like you wouldn't believe Friday night, and then 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, we had about 60, 70 mile an hour wind come through there. Actually tore a branch off a tree that almost hit my rig. It was ugly weather there this weekend.
Yeah.
Then hotter than who would have thunk it yesterday, I mean. But let's talk anxious to hear about that.
Well, it's kind of the same way in Littlefield. Littlefield, we had, I don't know, Jennifer, what time was it, 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock? We had the brunt of the storm hit us. It was a pretty good little bow echo there. As a matter of fact, for a little bit, we were watching it on TV, and looked like we were fixing to just get pounded, and we did. I bet we got a little over an inch of rain, and we had probably 50, 60-mile-hour winds. And I was Jennifer and them, I guess they kind of took cover, and I was trying to put briskets on for catering, and then John was late coming in, so I was putting briskets on for their shallow water cook-off or for their fundraiser, too. So it was kind of an interesting time Friday night. But we had a pretty good time. We had 16 teams. Isn't that right, Jennifer, 16? Is that right? That's right. You still there, Jennifer? She hung up on me.
I think we lost Jennifer.
That girl. Yeah, no, she still shows to be in there. Oh, there she is. Hold on there. We logged her back in. She's lost. Are you
okay?
Jennifer?
Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
All right, there you go. All right. So, you almost missed out, girl. I almost didn't see you there. So, anyway, so we had 16 teams, and it was more of a backyard style cook. There was probably four of us that were competition people, and the rest of them were backyard. We had a good time. They put on a good contest. I mean, it had some, you know, hiccups. I mean, here and there. It was one of those contests, you know, they put on kind of at the last minute, and it's going to be a learning experience.
But, you know, we had a good time. It made it great for me this weekend because if it wouldn't have been for Littlefield, I wouldn't have had time to compete. I couldn't have made it to Brownfield. I could have made it to Levington with catering and doing my other stuff. So, you know, that was a nice thing for me because it wasn't but, you know, 45 minutes to the house for me, so it worked out good. But we didn't win it, but we...
I mean, it was a good comp, and I will say this, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, but the promoter threw it together last minute. He did some things wrong, and he did a lot of things right. I mean, it goes both ways. I understand. I've been a first year promoter. I get it, and it's tough putting a kickoff. Putting one on is extremely difficult. It really is. And if I would have known this was his first year, I would have been there to help him because I've been in his shoes before. You run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You're trying like hell to get everything you need together and to do it correctly. And there's so many things that you have to do as a promoter. I mean, a million things. You feel like your job is never, ever done. I mean, there's been times when we've been there Friday night during the actual contest going, oh, my God, we forgot this. Go back and get it. You know, I mean, that's happened. But we have enough of us where somebody can leave and go get something and come right back. And he didn't have that. It was just him. And even
yeah.
his sister, you know, I tried to help him. And it's hard. It's very, very, very hard. It's very difficult. And we just have to, I mean, we have to give him that, you know, and the weather didn't help because supposedly that night he had 21 teams and people packed up and left because of the rain. Well, if you're a dedicated cook, you're going to stay there. Come, you know, come snow, hail, rain, it doesn't matter. You have to stay there and you have to cook, and that sucks, especially for people that have just a cooker that's on a grill and nowhere to go. I mean, like me and John, we sleep in a tent. So it sucks, but you have to stay there. You have to be dedicated. So that's my say on him.
Well, I
feel bad for him because he tried really hard.
Well, I got a whole new appreciation for you. Promoters.
Yeah. You know now.
Yeah. I'm getting a belly full of it. Like I say, I got a whole new appreciation for you folks. I can tell you right up front, I'd just soon be cooking and complaining about judging and all that kind of stuff. But like I say, the promotion end of it is an amazing process. Like I say, I'm getting a full dose of that. But you know, we're moving along good over here. But I'm looking forward to Breast Fest now. Putz Putz or Barbecue is going to compete over in RTU. We're going to do a KCBS over there. It'll be our second KCBS ever. And we think we got a game plan for it. Lance, you're the tournament guru of all the contests. Where's a good one to go to about mid-July? You know of any?
Man, July is like, you're going to probably go down south if you're looking at IBTA. July 4th and 5th. They'll have one in Rio Rancho, will be KBCS. It's actually part of the Governor's Cup that they have. I don't know if you knew about that or not, but Artesia and Rio Rancho actually has got they've got a deal together to where if you compete in both contests, there's actually a Governor's Cup to that. And so whoever does, I think, the best in those two contests is the Governor's Cup in New Mexico.
I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
But I believe that one is, I'm almost positive, Rio Rancho is July 4th, which, you know, kills me because we always have family stuff going on.
IBCA is having one the last weekend of July, 26th, 27th, in Red River. That's a good contest. That's a pretty neat contest. I love it up there. We're not going to make it this year because I've got two caterings that weekend. So I'm kind of looking around the same way because my whole situation is I've been trying to qualify for the Royal, and I believe July 31st is the end of that quest for the year. So I was looking around.
Well,
from what I understand,
talking to Angela, if you do well in ours, you qualify for the Royale, but it'd be for the following year.
It'll be 2015.
Yes, sir.
That is correct. That is correct.
Sir.
You will. Yours will be a qualifier. I mean, yours being a first-year event, all you have to be a qualifier for the American Royal is 15 teams. Okay?
Well,
now, if you have over 50 teams, let's say that you don't have a state championship. Let's say that there's no proclamation for state championship. If you have 15 teams, you make the American Royal. If you have 50 teams, then you become a qualifier for the lottery into the Jack Daniels. Now, the difference is that if you have a state championship proclamation like Lovington did this weekend, they had to have, since it's not their first year, they had to have 25 teams for the American Royal and 25 teams for the Jack Daniels because they had a state championship proclamation. So that's where the state championship comes into play, really, more than anything, is for the Jack Daniels. If you have a state championship, you only have to have 25 teams for the entry there. Yeah.
Well, they're working on sending us some paperwork so that we can get a state senator or somebody to sign off on it in order for to be the Jack, and I'm waiting on that paperwork to hit here, but we should be qualified for that as well.
Yeah. So that changes the whole deal. Yeah.
Yeah. In Lovington this weekend, they were talking, Lance, that even though they were a state championship, quote-unquote, this is the first year they actually qualified because they had 36 teams. So.
That is correct. The year that I cooked over there, that we had a reserve and Junior had a grand, we had 19 teams, but it was not their first year. It was like the second annual cook-off. So it did not qualify for any of that. Even though they called it a state championship, it was technically not a state championship because it did not have 25 teams to make it qualify. So,
like I say, I know for a fact Putz Butts is going to RT and we're going to Breastfest. Without a doubt. In fact, Ms. Jennifer, we seen your Facebook post about dress pink if you can or whatever. And Butts actually got online and had special team T-shirts made for your contest.
Mine?
So.
Wow.
Yes, we do. We got special T-shirts. Yes, ma'am. We had a Putz Butts is going to be dressed up for Breastfest, and we had special shirts. Well, we had special shirts made for that. So,
did you hear about the pink out?
Yes, ma'am. We did. I say, me and old Terrell's going to look awful funny in the old pink out, but we did. We had some special shirts made, and we're looking forward to your contest. I know it'll be a blast. Now, earlier I heard you talking about you going to park your rig on Monday before the contest. What about us folks that got rigs like, you know what my rig looks like, okay? If I roll in there Friday, am I going to be able to find a spot?
I would suggest getting there Friday morning. Otherwise, bring your generator because you'll have to be – I can put you in the amphitheater, which is – just like a field, basically. You can have it if you have a generator and bring your own water, you're good. I mean, you won't have a hookup, but if you roll there Friday morning, you might still be good. I don't know. I'm gonna get there Monday, and I will be putting updates on my Facebook and on Breastfest throughout the week, and you'll see when it starts getting full. I mean, because last year we had 63 teams, and we were full. We didn't have anybody in. We had one person in the amphitheater just because he chose to go in the amphitheater, and we had a couple people out in the field, the little grassy area where the bands play. But they added 35 more spots. So I look at that as saying basically 100 teams are going to fit in the spot, and then over 100 teams we're going to have to put in the amphitheater or the grassy area. But they will have to bring a generator. I mean,
so Thursday evening, if a man was to roll in there Thursday evening, I guess he'd pay for an extra night or whatever. Would you think he'd get a hookup?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about us vendors? How does that work?
You still better get there early. Sorry. I would love to save you a spot if I could, but there's nowhere. I mean, you can't reserve a spot. It's a state park, and they can't do that. So maybe you should send me a check, Lance, and I'll park my truck over there and say, reserved for pit masters. I'll write it on my windshield.
Well,
there you go.
I mean, whatever I need to do, like I said, if I roll in over Thursday evening after work and you think I got a shot at a hookup, if you see that changing, if you'd let me know, I'd sure be appreciative.
Yeah, just watch my Facebook for sure. I'll be letting people know, because there is, I will tell you right now, there is a man, and he only cooks my cook-off. I don't know why, but he loves my cook-off, and he only comes to mine. That's the only one he competes in every year, and he does very well at mine. And he comes on Sunday night every year. That's when he gets there.
Who is that?
And he's always been there. And, you know, I don't know his name. I just know him as the man that lives next door to me at Breastfest. But he's a sweetheart.
Oh, the old man? The old guy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Across the road from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that broke up the fight that night.
Who did he say he was?
The old man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know his name either. He's kind of like a snowbird. He kind of travels, and he'll come in, or he comes in about the same time every year.
Did he pull a horse trailer looking rig?
No, he just has an RV, and seems like a pit or something in there, or maybe just a grill.
Yeah, and then he brings his Jeep, and he drives his Jeep everywhere. He also has a very old classic car that sometimes shows up down there too.
I parked this weekend across from a fellow pulling a fifth wheel horse trailer deal, converted into a barbecue rig. And this older gentleman, I want to say his name was Taylor. Shoot, he travels the world cooking, man, and big friends with Johnny Trigg, and I don't know. He'd been all over the world.
It was Jerry King?
Yeah, King.
Was he next to you at Andrews?
He was right there across from me.
Yeah, Jerry King.
At Lovington.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't next to you at Andrews?
They weren't at Andrews.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't see him at Andrews.
Who was next to you at Andrews?
Next to me and Andrews on one side, and that homemade rig was a guy from Carlsbad.
And the other guy was Matt Alexander. Are you still there?
No.
Next to me on the other side was Toby.
Toby and John, and then on the other side of them was Matt Alexander.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just
kind of
categorical
for
me.
Now, I'm going to tell you what, old Matt's playing tiny there in Lovington this weekend. He had a showing now.
Where the hell did Matt come from?
Man.
Like, nobody's ever seen him until Andrews, or I haven't, until Andrews, and then all of a sudden he just starts winning left and right. Where'd you come from, Matt? Was that your first contest?
Yeah, Andrews is the first one we ever cooked in.
And you went to Ernest Cervantes' class, didn't you?
Yeah, that's where I met him.
Yep.
He was at Ernest Cervantes' class.
Yep. That was the first comp we ever cooked.
Well, you've done pretty well for yourself, haven't you?
We're getting there. There's always room for improvement.
So.
You couldn't improve much, Hoss. You was all over us in Lovington this weekend. Yeah, I got sixth place across the board. Sixth in brisket, sixth in ribs, and sixth in chicken.
Usually three sixes but, are not lucky, but I guess they were for you, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't feel bad, Matt. The first year I cooked over there, I cooked in Lovington Junior and I was there. And I had three thirds. And I hit it in the reserve.
Wow.
Yeah, Junior got me by, I think he got me by a point or two over there that weekend. And I was like, Dad, got it. Well, I don't have pills.
Yeah.
Because, you know, really, I mean, when you get, you know, when you start hitting that high consistently, you know, across the board in a contest, I mean, usually you can do pretty well, but there's those days. And, of course, I mean, with you guys having Pruitt and Ronnie over there, that makes it tough. So them,
yeah, anytime you
can
compete with those guys, you know, they're the best cooks around. I mean, especially Ronnie Wade, that dude's won more than anybody, I think.
Yeah. They were third overall at Jack Daniels last year.
Wow.
Ronnie is a damn good cook. He's a great guy. I don't know if you've gotten to meet him much or talked to him, but he is a good guy. And, I mean, you know, hell, I mean, he does. I mean, I've seen him compete all the way to California and all the way to the Jack, and he does well. He's a solid cook. And, you know, there's – ain't nothing you can say about it. I mean, he's got whatever that magic is, he's got it. And he's been hot the last, geez, several years now. Since I
was he at Homer's?
Yes. Well,
yeah.
I think he was this year. He was there last year. He showed up.
Yeah, I think he was there this year. He walked in a couple things, but not like Alan did. Alan did really good.
Well, you go back to Alan Freeman. I mean, he's from up there, and I mean, he's been cooking up there for many years. And I mean, it's the same way that, you know, with barbecue and the boonies or whatever. I mean, those things happen. I mean, it's always hard to go into any competition, especially IBCA, and beat the local cooks. That's something you always got to realize is that when you go in, especially IBCA stuff, it is hard to beat the local cooks. So any day that you do, you've had a damn good day, because they usually prevail in a lot of places. You know, so it's I don't know, it's kind of a crazy deal. And
right,
you know, it's like yesterday.
Well, Matthew,
I mean, that's what he was.
Matthew asked about Littlefield, and I pushed mute because my kids wouldn't quit talking. And then it wouldn't click back over, so that's why I hung up. Did you give him the rundown on what happened this weekend? Like, who got what?
I told him all about you.
Oh, yeah. did you say, this? You know what, there was this judge in there, one of our judges, and he said, I always tell them, best put their name, and I always say, you can put whatever you want. I don't care. You can put that you're Superman, Wonder Woman, Betty Boop. I really don't care. And this guy said, well, what's your name? I'm just going to put you down here. And I said, I'm Mrs. Fabulous. And he goes, can you spell that? I don't know how to spell that.
I guess maybe I'll learn it.
And I said, let me write it on your arm real quick, and you'll know how to spell it. You'll know who I am. So we had a great time, though. John did very well. It's funny to me that Tom got pressed. First place chicken, and I was looking at him when I called first place chicken out, and he says, well, damn, I just got it. And he was very proud of his little box that he got. But it's things like that, you know, that somebody that's never cooked and they come out it's like him. He got first place. That's the only thing he cooked, and he was very proud of it, and he called his dad when he was done. His dad, now you're going to want to cook all the time, aren't you? And he was like, yeah, I think so. And he was like, all right, well, let me know what you need. You know, it's just that because his dad owns the business, so I guess he'll be his sponsor or whatever. But, you know, it's just that they get the bug. Something bites them when they're out there, I swear.
Well, that's it. I mean, you do file a contest, and, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's how it starts. And, you know, and that's what I told him. You know, it's like yesterday. I said, you know, now, I said, you got the bug. We'll talk after a few contests, see how well you're doing.
Right. After you lose a couple.
You know, time always tells, you know, on cooking. I mean, or I say cooking, any kind of sport, time will tell. Because it does
right.
take a lot of dedication, takes a lot of time. And, you know, and I don't care, I mean, if you're Myron Nixon or Mo Cason or whoever, I mean, you know, you have your good days, you have your bad days, but when you look at it overall, you know, that's where you become a good cook. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. In Lovington, New Mexico, Putz Butts cooked a DAL brisket. And that's if Putz Butts had been doing the judging. I don't know if I got an old cow. In case y'all don't know, DAL, dead ass last. I don't know if I got an old cow. I don't know what happened, but that's the worst brisket I've probably cooked in 10 years. Could not get it tender. Done everything but jump on it. So
where did that brisket come from?
It come from a local supermarket.
So, I mean, it was just a select brisket or a choice?
Nah, it's just regular old out-of-the-store brisket, about $62 worth.
Damn.
So what was the final temperature you cooked it to?
202. I run out of time.
Okay.
I cooked it to 202, and I got news for you. It was tougher than to talk, because you were talking earlier about them laying a slice over their finger and seeing if it had been but not break. You could lay this one over your finger, and it is stuck out like a pencil. There wasn't no bend to this puppy. Okay, it was terrible. My other two sanctioned meats, I felt pretty good about, but I'm going to be real honest with you. As cooks, you get on a streak and you feel real good about your product and you do real well. And I'm proud to announce, old Matt, he's on a hot streak. He's somebody to deal with. And quite frankly, you know, when you get on a roll like that, you're hitting your marks and everything's going good. It's a lot of fun. But,
hell yeah.
You know, sometimes you get one of them old cows like I got this weekend. That cow must have been 50 when they butchered it. Cause, I mean, it was bad. It was so bad, okay, that I debated whether I even wanted to turn it in because I was afraid somebody might associate it with me. I mean, it was just bad. You know, if I'd been at the house, I might have tried to cut it up and feed it to the dogs. I mean, it was bad. But now, you know, my chicken and my ribs, I thought were pretty good. My ribs are still not quite where they were when I was using a stick burner, but I'm still learning this equipment I got, and they're getting closer. Chicken, I don't know what happened there. It was every bit as good as what I won with in Lamisa, but good enough in Lovington, so, you know.
All right, Matt.
Matt,
so,
where do you buy your meat?
H-E-B. I only took H-E-B Prime briskets. They seem to have the best results for us.
Where?
So,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
H-E-B.
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 Oh,
H-E-B. Prime?
Yeah.
So where you're next?
Where do you get
off,
those?
Matt?
What's that?
So where are you cooking at next?
Probably Artesia. I guess we'll take the weekend off, and then we'll go to Artesia.
Okay.
there's nothing really local this weekend or anything, so.
Now, I will say, the only one that's the close one to you is Ballinger on the 27th.
Yeah.
So, I think I may run down there and try that. That's good. I'm glad you're going to Artesia.
Yeah, we're going to go over there and try to get our butts kicked. We went and cooked Decatur and got our butts kicked up there, but then we came back to Lovington and did a little better, so it's all right.
Well, now, Artesia will be KBCS. You know that, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right, so now I get to watch YouTube videos and practice putting boxes together. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Ain't nothing to it.
It's all new. We've never done the greenery and all that stuff before. And 30-minute turn-ins, that's going to be a little different, but we'll get it.
Okay, now, let me tell you this. You do not have to do the greenery. That is an optional thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, you'll probably do better, but it is not a requirement that you have to put green stuff in your box. And I know guys that do not put green stuff in their box and that's just fine.
So,
that's totally optional, but I'm going to tell you, there are guys that do well that do not garnish their boxes. Most of them do. I do garnish.
Something else I heard from that David Buschke, I don't know how to say his last name. Butcher's
David
Buschke?
Yeah.
He said on brisket, he has never turned in burn-ins. He said he has never got them.
If the burn-ins are spot on, they'll work for you. If they're not, if you've never cooked burn-ins, I wouldn't turn them in.
Well, he said he had never got them to what he liked, so he specifically said I never turn in burn-ins. That was something I always thought too. I thought you had to turn in burn-ins, and I thought you had to garnish the box. Now that garnishing the box is news to me. I thought that was a requirement.
No, it is not a requirement. You do not have to garnish that box.
Oh.
And there are guys that do well that do not. Same thing on your pork butts. It's like the money muscle. If you turn in the money muscle, it better be spot on. Because if it's not, if it's got too much tug or it's overdone, they're going to bang the hell out of you on it. That's that kind of same deal. But, I mean, if you got a good money muscle, you turn that bad boy in. And I guarantee you, it will win you points. But it better be where it needs to be, because if it's not, it'll cost you a bunch of points, too.
Well, y'all know there's a...
Is SBA a garnish box?
No.
Okay.
There's also going to be a judging class at that Artesia on Friday. They're going to have a KCBS judging class. And
yes,
I think I'm going to go do that just to learn how their system works. So.
Sure. It's a great idea. I mean, I'm planning on right now, my whole deal is I'm going to try to take the FBA one down there in Hobbs. Same deal, I mean, because I want to know. I mean.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to have one. I'd like to do that one, too. So.
We're going to have a judging class as well, Matt. I'm working with FBA right now as to whether they're going to try to do it on Thursday night before the contest or Friday. They're asking me to have 100 judges ready, or 100 people willing to sit through the class in order to judge. The requirement that we're putting on people that are going to judge is that they attend the class. Right now what we're doing is we're promoting, as far as folks that are donating money to the contest, we're giving them the first shot at being in the class. But we're requiring everybody that will judge in our contest to sit through that FBA class, and I'm waiting on FBA at this point to let us know whether that class will take place on Thursday or Friday night. But we have a room big enough to accommodate, the necessary amount to meet FBA's requirements. And they're asking us to have 100 people ready to judge, and we're already on that. And we also have people paying their own money from FBA to come out here and judge our contest, which totally shocked me. I have three right now that are going to fly their own way and pay their own airfare, motel, the whole nine yards to come judge our tournament, which right now, coming from Florida, that we got more judges coming from Florida than we got cooks at this point.
Can I take a class? Even though my husband's cooking, can I judge?
Say that again.
Even though John is cooking, can I take the class and judge?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have no problem with you taking the class. Now, we'll have to get with FBA as to whether you get to judge or not, okay? But since he's cooking, okay, I'm not going to answer that. I don't know exactly what their rules are on that, Ms. Jennifer. Now, me personally, with 100 teams, which is what I think we'll be close to, I wouldn't have a problem with it as a cook, okay? But like I say, that's for FBA to decide. I don't think as a promoter, I should give you that answer. I think that's one FBA ought to answer. But as far as you sitting in the FBA class and learning about how they're going to judge, I don't have a bit of problem with that.
Well, I think after this show, I should just start my own sanctioning body.
I'll be real honest with you, darling. I wish you would. As long as you can come up with a scorecard, shoot, I'm all about it. I'll support you. That's basically
the only thing the IBCA lacks.
Okay, because like Lance was talking about KCBS, and those KCBS classes, okay, that Matt's going to set in on and that I plan on setting in on, okay, they're teaching, taste profiles and different things. I just know they are, okay, because I could see that down there in San Marcos, okay, and the reason I feel that way and agree with Lance is, okay, I went to a class, a cook's class, in Memphis, Tennessee, okay, and those guys are doing well on the KCBS circuit, okay, but I didn't use their quote-unquote recipes, okay, because I felt like it would be way too sweet down there in South Texas, okay? I thought South Texas would be more similar to West Texas than it was to the southeast part of the world, okay?
Yeah.
And the southeast part of the world, okay, they want their product tasting like candy.
Vinegar, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a little vinegar in it, okay, but the class I attended, okay, was sugar. Okay,
sugar.
it was syrupy sweet, okay, and going down to San Marcos, okay, now don't get me wrong, I love their barbecue, okay, I'm not a big heat guy, okay, but in West Texas, you better have some heat in your product, okay, or you're going to get a DAL.
There you go.
All right, and so we're going to South Texas, and I'm going, man, I just don't believe sweet's the way to go down there. I think we better have a little heat in our product. Well, we didn't get a DAL, okay, we finished in the middle of the pack. But the guys that walked, okay, where I took the class, okay, they finished like second and third in every category. So I went, aha. Okay, them judges or KCBS judges at that NBBQA conference, okay, so they're teaching flavor profiles in those classes. I believe that, like Lance does. And
I agree,
I'm going to be real honest with you. Over in Artesia, I don't know what the mixture of judges are going to be of true KCBS judges, folks that travel around doing that. Okay, but you know, it's going to cause me to think about what my product's going to be.
What you need to do is ask Lance what's normal in New Mexico, because he knows, because he grew up there, and do the opposite, because it's something new.
Yeah, well, like I say, KCBS, I believe they have a flavor profile, okay? I don't know enough about FBA-trained judges to tell you if they have a flavor profile or not. Okay,
oh, I do. I believe that
frankly,
they all do.
But quite frankly, we got three certified FBA judges coming to Hobbs, okay, out of 100 judges. Well, that means that 97 of them are going to be Hobbs folks that have sat through a 3 or 4 hour. I just don't believe that 3 or 4 hour school is going to affect their taste buds.
Well, let me ask you this, how many barbecue restaurants do you have there in Hobbs?
We got one, sort of.
Okay.
Okay. Is it
popular?
Yeah. No. And we got a Dickie's coming.
Okay.
And we got a guy that sets up a trailer and sells barbecue, and then we got another one that sets up a trailer down on Main Street and sells barbecue. The restaurant is the least popular of all of them.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I mean,
well, I think I've met one
of
the guys that has a trailer because I think he was over in Lovington one year with us.
Well, he may have been, but like I say,
he was from
really. Really and truly, what we're going to do, okay, is we're going to try to get both the guys with the trailers to do some of the vending at our contest, okay, so that people aren't pestering cooks, okay, to buy barbecue.
They come out see me. No, I don't mind. I get it all
the
time.
Well, I understand that, but Lance, you got to think about the environmental guy.
Oh yeah.
Okay, in the state of New Mexico. Okay, the pain that they would put y'all through to sell your product. Okay.
See, Lovington, the inspectors out of Roswell, is Hoff have their own inspector?
No, the inspector for Lovington is also out of Hoff's.
Oh really?
Inspector he comes right out of Hobbs, okay. But I didn't want to have to subject 100 cooks to go through that environmental department in order for them to have to sell food, okay. And Lovington, no disrespect to them, okay. I had people pestering me all weekend and last year. Can we buy food? Okay, I'll be honest with you, as a cook, it's a nightmare.
Well, it can be.
You're trying to get your meat ready to turn in, and you got folks there standing up. How much are you getting for this? And how, you know, I'm not selling food. I'm just in the contest. Well, dang. And then off they walk. And you know, no offense to Lovington. I like their contest. They had great cooks over there. The people running the deal were overly friendly. I mean, everything's good, but they need a section that is clearly marked for vendors. And they need to educate the public as to why the competition teams can't sell them food.
Good. No, that's true.
What about just letting people sample? I mean, if somebody comes up to your campsite, let's just say this is a scenario.
Yeah, you can do any of that you want to do as long as you're not selling food.
Yeah. Say, here's the situation, and this is the way it is in most places, even in Texas, Jennifer, is that if someone comes to my trailer and they want to sample something of mine, they are your friends. And you need to learn that word because technically – if the health department finds out that if someone just randomly walked up to you, and even though you just gave them a sample, they technically consider that serving the public. And they can be Okay? So if someone comes up to you and they just want a sample, and I do it all the time too, they are my friends. I've known them for years. That is a golden rule. That keeps your butt out of trouble.
Well, that's
because that is the same deal. I mean, I'll let people taste my stuff, but they've got to know that you're not serving the public. Because if they find out that you're serving the public, then technically you're under all that environmental stuff and the whole nine yards. And if the inspector wants to be a butthead about it, I mean, he can fine you all kinds of money.
Not only can he fine you, he can shut your contest down.
Yeah.
At that
moment. Well, that happened. That happened at us this weekend. There were so many people that came up to us and said, well, in the newspaper it said that we could sample it when it was over with. And we had all the trays sitting out there. And Matt looked at me and said, no, absolutely not. And so I explained to every person that walked up there, no, we can't give you this food. Because if you went home and you fed it to your dog or you ate it or whatever happened and you or your dog or whatever got sick, even though it might not be anything we served, but you thought it was, we'll get in trouble. And so I don't know why that was put in the newspaper. That blows my mind. But like with us, with Breastfeds, we've looked at calling in Tent City, which is in Lubbock, and asking them to come pick up our food, because you do see, I mean, it kind of breaks my heart that you see all of this food go to waste. I mean, 100% go to waste. And it could be given to a good organization. And IDCA allows that. You can't have somebody come in, but what they have to do in that situation is they have a tub sitting at the end of the table. And when it's done, it's done. I mean, it's when they take it, it's gone. But they have to collect it themselves, and they have to distribute it to Tent City themselves. But you cannot just hand out the trays.
Well,
that makes sense.
We're in the same boat as you on that, Ms. Jennifer. And what we're doing, part of our entry fee is a cooked brisket or pork butt. Okay. And what we've done, okay, is the three charities that we're helping will show up and pick that meat up. We're not delivering it to them for the same reasons you're talking about. So, that environmental deal, it's an issue, okay, and a lot of it can be avoided, I think. We'll find out, okay, but this is what I'm going to try. I'm going to try to do about a three-step article, if you will, with our local newspaper, training the local people as to what a barbecue cook-off is about and touching on things just like this so that when they do show up, okay, they're not frustrated and disappointed that the cooks aren't selling them food or giving them samples or, you know. In other words, try to educate the public before a contest, since this is really the first one. Do you like that idea? Do you think that's worthwhile?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, because you're going to have so many cooks coming out there or people, just regular public coming out there and asking, you know, can we eat your food? Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, it's like with me. I'm sure you saw it on Breastfeds page and on my personal page. I'm saying, do you want to judge? This is your opportunity to eat this food. We need 65 judges per category. I don't know how FDA runs theirs, but with 100 plus teams at IBCA, you have to have 65 judges per category. That's a lot of different people.
FDA, if you got 100 teams, you got to have 100 judges.
Right.
Yeah, you got to have
100
judges.
I mean, ours is 65. Is that per category? Or is that total?
Well, I mean, you suspect
total.
That all
are you going to let
judges,
them do
every...
Yeah,
they
judge
like
every category?
They judge all categories.
Yeah, they do all the categories. And then we're going to have to...
They do everyone.
And then we're going to have to... I don't know what Brett's going to need for judges in his state deal, but, I mean, we're definitely signed on to do that and got that fully sponsored. I can tell you this, Jennifer, just from what little bit I know, okay, promoting a state cook-off is almost like entering the state contest. Easy peasy. Like I say, I've done got it fully funded, and it's all ready to go. And, I mean, the state cook-off deal, man, that's a breeze. But the barbecue side of it is
a lot. So do you have a lot of people entering that one?
We'll have 100 teams in that easily.
But yeah,
we'll we'll probably have 60 local teams because everybody out in this part of the world cooks steaks for their customers.
Right. That's awesome. I'm going to look into doing something but totally separate from breakfast. Just with the steak thing because – my mom has rheumatoid arthritis, and she just got diagnosed with, I guess, a worse part of it. It's moved into her neck and her head. And so I want to do something completely separate from breastfeed with just that, like just to do something with that. And I thought about just doing a steak cook-off, like one night.
I'll say we do
a steak
cook-off in July. Jennifer,
because
our
steak
competition is going on in July.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, do that steak cook-off in the middle of July.
If I can do it at at Buffalo, and we can have just the steak, would y'all all come?
I'll come to the steak cook-off in Lubbock. You betcha.
I think you can do a steak cook-off and even a kids' queue on that, and then have a shitload of people show up.
I'm going to tell you up front, I almost thought about dragging Shreveport and doing that one July 4th weekend.
Well, there's several of them that I'd like to do. It's a
9-hour drive is the only problem.
We couldn't do anything. They don't book anything on July 4th weekend for them because they have their big fireworks show that weekend.
Yeah, no, you want to do it July 4th.
No.
The second or third weekend would be great.
Yeah.
Because there is not much going on at all. I'm telling you right there.
Well, I'll kind of put it out there and see how many people I could get together. Maybe it's something I can throw together last minute for this year.
I'll cook it.
But then next year, really promote it.
I'll
cook
it.
Count me in. I'll come.
All right.
You talking about having it on a Friday night or a Saturday night?
Yeah, you can even have it during Saturday day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
What I was going to say. If we did a kids' queue, just a kids' queue and a steak Saturday during the day,
yeah,
maybe I could get a band playing or a DJ or
get Caleb Allman come down and play for you, even on that end of it.
There you go. I've got to do something because I'm sitting here working my ass off for breast cancer, but then I'm going, my mom is sitting over here, you know, dealing with this, and I'm not doing crap for that, and that makes me feel bad. So I need to do something for her.
Let's do this.
All right. Well, if y'all help me. You want to help, Mark? Are you in?
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm entered. I didn't want to do another one of these steak cook-offs. Them guys have a lot of fun.
You know, actually, you know what you can do? Here's the deal. You can have a little kids' queue, and then what they do at a lot of the steak cook-offs is they have an appetizer entry, too. So you can do an appetizer and steak. And, it's kind of a low-key deal. I mean, that's what Brett and them have at, like the North Texas steak cook-off and stuff. They do an appetizer. And then the other thing they do is they get, you know, they have so many steaks, and then what happens is they have the cooks cook extra steaks, and then they sell plates and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, how would we pay the I mean, because I don't know who I'd call for a sponsorship on this, but how would we pay out? Just do the who's there, or will we do?
Well, you do an entry, and then, like I said, I mean, you know, if you did pick up some sponsor or something like that, but I mean, yeah, we can work that out. I mean, we can talk to Brett, and Brett will danger help us. I mean, even if he can't sanction
well,
it, he would help.
Well, what Brett? Yeah, what we did. Okay, what we did. Okay, we're paying out like $37.50 in each meat category of the barbecue. Okay, so basically, okay, we're paying out $37.50 in each meat category. So what I thought was fair is for the state to have the same payout, $37.50. Okay, so first place steak win $1,000. We got a $100 entry fee. Okay, but you got to furnish the cook two steaks. Okay.
So well, that's Brett's deal, right? That's what he
well,
does.
That,
they furnish the steak.
That's Brett's deal. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Just telling you what Brett's deal is, and then you can go
yeah.
from there as to what you want to do. Okay. But Brett's deal was is you as a promoter, you have to furnish two 16-ounce ribeyes. Well,
yep.
You know, even at retail, those are $10. Those are $10 steaks a piece. So you're looking at $20 a team expense. So you're making $80 a team profit on a $100 entry fee. Okay.
There you go.
Not counting what your prize package is. Well, what we
right.
did, Miss Jennifer, okay, is I found a sponsor, okay, that paid the $37.50 plus the $1,200 sanctioning fee, okay, and then I found another sponsor that bought all of meat for 100 teams.
Okay.
So contest as far as Lee County, okay, it's sanctioned, it's paid for, and the prize money's in place, okay, for 100 teams. Now, if we go to getting more teams than that, then, you know, we're only going to make, you know, $80 a team off of that because we're going to have to buy more steaks.
Right.
But basically,
well, we
that's
talk
how.
To, yeah. And we can talk to Tate. I mean, I may be able to pull a deal with him on steaks because he usually works with me on that end of it.
Well,
you know.
Y'all just don't understand, like, I don't think anybody understands unless you've seen it and dealt with it. She got diagnosed when she was 35, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's the most humble person, the nicest, sweetest lady you'll ever meet in your life. And I'm not saying that because she's my mom. She just truly is. And she suffers day to day to day to day. The medicine she takes, if she didn't have insurance, would be $1,000 every 2 weeks. I mean,
yeah.
Ridiculous, you know? And that's what she's just over here, and she cried the other night and said, I don't want my grandkids to know me as just some crippled old lady, because that's what she initially will end up with. I mean, she will be crippled by the time
Sweetie,
she dies, and that's horrible.
I've seen it, darling. I've got an aunt that had it, and she used to play the piano like nobody's business, and she had a voice that would send a chill up your spine, okay? And her fingers just curled up. I mean,
you
know, to the point where she can barely hold silverware.
Exactly.
No, it's sad. It's sad stuff. It's.
And she doesn't complain. She doesn't gripe. She doesn't cry about her pain. You will never hear those words come out of her mouth that I hurt. You know, you don't hear that. She puts a smile on her face no matter what's going on, and she moves on. And she just knows this is what God gave me, and I'm dealt this hand, so I have to deal with it, you know. And I think God gave me to her because she knows I'll do something. I mean, not that I'm going to change the world or anything, not that I'm going to find a cure, but I'm going to try my damnedest, you know. So
well,
I got to do
count
something.
Count me in, Ms. Jennifer. I'll be there to cook a steak, and the kids keep part of that I find fascinating because I can bring the 5-year-old grandson. He's been wanting to come, and he's been wanting to cook, and I'll bring him, and we'll figure out something to cook, an appetizer. I don't know nothing about appetizers, but we'll enter something.
Make some cake.
What about you, Matt?
yeah, and the good thing about a steak cook-off is, man, I can load up my Weber and
go in the pickup, you ain't going to take your whole rig or nothing. You just take a Weber and a bag of charcoal, and you're good to go. I mean,
I'm going to tell you what. Them steak cookers, they're worse than chili cooks. They have entirely too much fun and with very little work. Seen that down in San Marcos. Them guys played and had a big time all night Friday night about 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon to get the Weber out of the back of the pickup, you know, and they're sitting over there laughing at those barbecue cooks working our fannies off. Like I say, they're a lot worse than chili cooks.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll come down and like I said, let's get it going. Let's I guarantee I can get cooks to come down and do this. That ain't a problem.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to find a place in the morning. Because Buffalo more than likely is probably booked at this point, but I know I have another place in mind. Reese has a – they actually have an RV park in Reese, believe it or not, right next to the golf course. And maybe I can – Reese
Jennifer,
golf course.
The beautiful thing here about this steak cook-off, you don't need no RV hookups. You don't need none of that. You need some shade trees. You need some shade trees is all you need. You don't need RV hookups. You don't need electricity. You don't need none of that fancy stuff we need for barbecue. You just need a shaded area.
Well, try to find that in Lubbock.
Oh, I know. I live in Hobbs. I mean, I understand.
It's
okay,
hard to do.
You know, in Hobbs, if we were worried about shaded area, we'd have it at Green Meadows Park or Harry McAdams Park. Think that direction and see if, you know, you can find just a park to have it in. See if the city will work with you that way.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you don't need all that. You don't need all that electricity and water and all that stuff. I mean, this is easy peasy. I mean, like I say, you just need enough room to, and preferably shade, I would think. In middle of July in Lubbock, Texas, going to be pretty hot.
Baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'll try to
finish. Well, we can't, then we'll regroup and see what we can do. But I'd say the second and third weekend would be your two optimal times. That's a weekend after 4th of July, and then that's before, that'll give you a two to three weeks before breast test.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Well, let me see if I can work some wonders.
All right, pull it, and like I said, we'll start throwing this out here. I mean, like I said, we can get kicks to come. That ain't a problem at all.
I've got to make sure with Brett that we can do it too. He might have something booked, but I'll get on.
He's got more than one person sanctioned now. I mean, as far as you know, on that end of it. So I mean, I don't think that'll be a big deal.
Even if it's not sanctioned, it doesn't matter. It just gives us something to cook, raise a few dollars to help your mom's